Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights at the round table, three dots where we're able. We'll do routines to call the scenes to put quick in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights at the round table, our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off to mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye! Hear ye! King Shazir the Terrible! All rise for King Shazir the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. The time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look. Let's go, and we better stop. Children, what's that sound?
Table and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. I say that almost like I'm slightly a professional. Maybe not. I don't know. Anyway, if you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html at shazizradio.com. And if you want to go over and visit the wonderful people at People for People Radio Network, then there's a banner ad down underneath the chat rooms that you can click on. You could actually be in both at the same time. Woohoo, isn't that cool? So, I'm going to play a really short podcast because I want to if you ever want to up and clear a room really fast, start talking about your spiritual beliefs. But nonetheless, I just want to, because today is Easter, and I want to basically put some couple things in perspective, but that's not what I want to get to today. There's a whole lot more. So even if you you're not some fan of the Christian belief or anything, don't bail on me just yet. Just hear me out what I got to say. But what is Easter all about? Is it about an Easter bunny, like Christmas has become about a Christmas tree or a Santa Claus or, presents or all that kind of jazz, Well, if you're a true Christian, you really already know that Easter is the most important holiday. And so this little podcast that I'm going to play, it will give you just a really brief rundown about what Easter is really supposed to be about.
The story of Easter. Jesus' sacrifice. This is Jesus.
Heyo!
Who is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. While Jesus was on earth, he taught everyone about God's love and healed people from their sickness. He did many miracles, like calming storms, and even raised people from the dead.
Wahoo!
The Jewish leaders and teachers did not like what Jesus was doing, or how he claimed to be the Son of God. And so they made a plan to arrest him to get rid of him once and for all. Judas, one of Jesus' disciples, agreed to betray Jesus.
Come in.
And give him over to the religious leaders for some money. Jesus was in a garden praying, and Judas showed the man who Jesus was. Jesus was arrested and taken to the rulers of the land so that they could decide what to do with him. Jesus was presented before the high council, and they asked him if he was the Messiah, the Savior of the Jews. They asked him if he was claiming to be the Son of God. You say that I am. And the council was furious, and they shouted that Jesus was guilty, and he deserves to die. So they took Jesus before the Roman ruler Pilate, and he heard the case against Jesus. Pilate didn't think that Jesus had done anything wrong.
Seems okay to me.
They found him to be innocent, so Pilate said that he would punish Jesus and then release him.
What?
But the crowd kept screaming louder and louder, "Crucify him! We want him dead!" And because of the pressure of the crowd, Pilate turned Jesus over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. Jesus was hurt and spit on, his clothes were torn and taken from him, and a crown made out of thorns was put on his head. He was beaten so badly that he could barely stand on his own. And then he was forced to carry his cross so far up a mountain that he needed help because he could not do it on his own. once Jesus made it to the place where he would be crucified, called the Skull, the soldiers around him nailed him to the cross and waited for him to die. While Jesus was hanging on the cross, many people shouted to him, "If you really are the Son of God, save yourself from the cross." But Jesus knew he had to die to forgive his people for their sins. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land. 3 hours later, Jesus took his last breath and finally died. At that very moment, the curtain in the temple that separated the priests from God's holy place tore in two. A soldier watching the whole thing said, "This man truly was the Son of God." Then a righteous man named Joseph came and placed Jesus' body in a tomb. 3 days passed and it seemed that there was no hope. But very early on Sunday morning, the woman who cared for Jesus went to go visit his body and found that his tomb was empty and that he was no longer there. "Don't be afraid," said an angel. "He is not here. He is risen." At this, the woman remembered that Jesus had told them that he would rise again on the third day.
Woo-hoo!
And ran to go tell the disciples what they had seen and heard.
Huh? Hey-o!
Ah!
And then for the next 40 days, Jesus appeared to his disciples and many others and showed them that he was alive and well. He taught them that what he did was the only way that they could be forgiven and be with God forever. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life.
Okay, so simple. The Easter holiday for the Christians is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I got a lot of stuff that's on my mind that I'd love to say and, try to tell people what my perspective on things is. It just amazes me that in a world that one man, somewhere in history, whether it been, just a story or whatever, had inspired so many people in this world. And some even tried to actually replace Jesus with the Bible itself. Now, I know that might sound odd to you, but if you're really seriously interested, you can actually research it, because not even the preachers or the pastors of a church can replace Jesus for a true Christian. And so, with that said, there are other things in this little video, and this was a children's video, by the way. There are other things in this video that mimic things that are going on in today's reality, such as, Pilate was going to just punish Jesus and let him go, and the whole crowd's in an uproar, and because of, the crowd, he went ahead and put him to death. So you basically just heard a little miniature version of what true democracy is about. So this world that we live in, it's become so incredibly distorted that it's hard to find the truth in who's right and who's wrong in there. And it may not even matter who's right or who's wrong. The spiritual journey that you're on, I can be respectful of your spiritual journey, because it's your spiritual journey, it's your life. You got to find your own path and find your own truth. And so whenever I try to talk about things like this to people, I know that I'm probably going to run people out of the room really quick, because, there's a saying somewhere around here, even though I live in Missouri, which is called the Bible Belt of United States, because there's a lot of churches out here, but even a lot of these churches I disagree with, and I don't subscribe to organized religion in the sense that everybody else seems to think. I I listened to a story of a man who committed an ultimate sacrifice. I mean, you couldn't do any more sacrificing of yourself and your own body for others, you know. And even if that was just a moral to a fairy tale or a fable or whatever, however it turned out, that resonated in my heart, because I feel like that if I sacrifice myself, you know, I don't have to, you know, like kill myself or anything like that. But what I'm trying to say on a small sense, because I could never walk in those footsteps, and I probably wouldn't be able to, you know, lay down my life. I might be able to, I don't know. But if I sacrifice myself and my time and I'm humble myself and I'm willing to be a servant to my community and my brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter from which walk of life or culture they come from. If I sacrifice myself in love, that to me was the story that the moral that I got out of the story of what Jesus spoke about throughout the entirety of the time in the book that said, told about the story of, you know, Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, or whatever. All right? And so, I'm just a man, folks. I'm just a man, just like, you know, the other men out there in the world. I'm nothing special. I'm just a man who subscribes to love. I got this in my heart, and, you know, and I hold it there dearly, because I feel like that is my connection to a higher power, you know, our Creator, or God. And I believe that our God comes by many names. I believe in different cultures that there may have very well been many messengers that come under different cultures so that the people there could actually understand. You know, I don't know the full truth, because, like I said, I'm just a man. I don't, and when you go thinking back about how you were taught in school, or even to the extent of, books, they say that the Bible's questionable. Well, because it was written by man. Well, I say that all books under that wording should be questionable, because all books were written by man. Now, whether it was inspired divinely, that, you know, we'll find out someday. Honestly, we'll all get to the end of this journey together. We'll find out. But if we take those teachings of what I believe Christ was trying to talk to people, you know, there was a story in there about a lady who had committed adultery, and they wanted to stone this lady, and Jesus picks up the stone. They said it's the law that we're supposed to stone her. And so he picks up the stone and he hands it out to everybody. He says, "Let ye without sin cast the first stone." Nobody took the stone, because nobody was without sin. You know, all of us have made mistakes in our life, and none of us are perfect. The pastor standing on the pedestal up there in your church, he's no better than you. He's no worse than you. He's not your, according to my beliefs, he's not your gateway to God. You know, he wasn't your advocate for, you know, your life or whatever. And so to me, that's what being a true Christian means. It's not that I've got to stand out there on the corner and slap you with my Bible and tell you you're going to go to hell if you don't read this book or listen to what I have to say. That's not my place. It's not my place to judge you, just as it's not your place to judge me. That's what I learned from the story that I personally got from Jesus. So, you know, Easter isn't about the Easter Bunny, just as Christmas isn't about Santa Claus. And a lot of people, being politically correct, seem to want to erase certain portions of what I believe in order to not offend others. And this is why it's so hard for me to try to explain to all you good people out there what it is that I believe, because I've watched what goes on in culture. There's places where you can be killed for being a Christian, you know, by, you know, people who believe something differently. I don't believe that that's what we should be doing to one another. I don't believe that that's what our Creator wants of us to do to others. As a matter of fact, Jesus never talked about going out and stoning people. He held the rock out. He said, let ye without sin cast the first stone. Nobody could cast that stone because they knew that they themselves had made mistakes. And so he wasn't down there telling everybody to kill people, and he wasn't telling everybody that because somebody's a sinner, you gotta, you know, kick them to the curb or anything like that. He was saying Jesus didn't come here for the righteous. He came here to find the sinners. He came here to help. He came here to give his life to do this. This is what the story said. Regardless of what you believe, this is what the story said. You know, I know there's videos out there like Zeitgeist and all this that will talk about and twist things and try to say that, you know, this is all paganism. I'm a Christian. I don't worship the Easter Bunny. I think about the resurrection. That's what the story was to me. And somehow along the line, people got lost from that. Now, if it was just a man, you know, that was pretty wise and had a lot of good parables to teach people, you know, such as if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could speak to a mountain and tell it to move. You know, that to me resonated. You know, all the things that you heard Jesus said. There's actually a book out there called Greatest Words Ever Spoken. And if you listen, just read that portion. And it only tells you, for the most part, the words that he spoke. All right? And some of the deals are in there are repetitive because they are found in different, you know, parts of the Bible and stuff, different books. And so, you know, it could be challenging to read, but if you just want to know what he said, all right, you can't replace Jesus with the Bible. I know it's been tried. Even pastors try it, but of course, according to me, what I believe is that Jesus was my way back to God because of, you know, whatever sins I may do in my life. I don't know. All right, but that's the simple of it, and so I won't drag you down that road. If you ever want to have a private conversation with me and talk to me about my true beliefs, hey, that's wonderful, you know. In my book, Jesus said that any time two or more come together, that there shall I be also. So I don't need to be in a fancy golden-clad church with a hierarchy of men wearing pointy hats and stuff and doing all these crazy things. You know, it's like aerobics class in some of them. I've been to so many different types of churches just trying to find my path, and I found that my best church is right here in what my Creator calls my heart. It's where my love is stored, and that's where I let that pour out. You know, sometimes my mind can get in the way, but my heart, if I listen to what's going on, I can hear the voice of God in my heart, and that's what I believe. So there's where I stand, folks, and happy Easter to you if you celebrate Easter. If not, I love you anyway. It doesn't matter. So with that said, we got Barbara Three Crow on here, and hopefully Patty will show up here sometime, and we'll take this road, take this show down the road and see where we end up. So how you doing there, Barbara?
Hey, Chavez. I'm doing really well, and hi everybody out there in the great world, the Mother Earth, and wherever you are listening. I'm just listening to what you're saying, and comes a lot into my mind. I guess my first question I would pose, and this is sort of a rhetorical question, I think it's interesting, first of all, why do people feel uncomfortable and delete or turn you off or run away when you want to talk about something along these lines? And I guess you could say, well, you know, I have my own sense of things, you and many who have heard me. I am not a follower of organized religion, but I do feel that there's something divine and sacred and awesome and omniscient that has created everything here, including us. I mean, a human being, a formation, a creation, of a human being, just that process alone is a pretty huge miracle. And the nature, the Mother Earth that I love, and you know, I don't call myself a pagan, and I'm not a, I guess I'm not a Christian in a way, but in a way I am. But I'm not a follower of organized religions, because I don't believe in organized religions. I don't believe, and I know you've spoken this too, as far as I don't stand there as a bowing down to a man in a dress and a fish hat, as you're talking about, lots of gold, they like gold, and who stands in some giant cathedral that, yes, Jesus, and I like to say Yeshua, never, because that's his real name, this person, never said build great temples in my name and charge people, you know, to come into my church and make sure you tell them that they're sinners so that you can, you know, make more money through baptisms and various other things and punish them and scare the hell out of them because then they'll come into your church. I mean, you know, this stuff is all man-made. This is what we've been, that is what overtaken us, you know, really people's sovereignty as a sacred being originally with the light and I'm going to say the creator within themselves, you know. And we were created, I do believe, from unconditional love. And to me, when you are a creator, you have a great joy because your creation is joyous. I mean, it gives you joy. I experience joy. But so this holiday here, this day, Easter, it's called. And you're right. I mean, we have a lot of these prescribed holidays that are commercialized. You know, this is what it has become now. Christmas, Easter Bunny, you know, eggs and chocolate and bunnies and you know, go out and buy a new dress and a new hat and new shoes, you know, consumerism. Same thing with Christmas, consumerism. And this has been something it's very mixed up and very confusing to people. I mean, so I just want to talk about this person, Yeshua, because, you know, if you've heard me speaking, I talk about others who have come throughout time, some long before Yeshua appeared, and that was the peacemaker, the peacekeeper here on Turtle Island, who actually appeared in a very strange and unique way, was born of a virgin as well, and who came and taught the same exact words that Yeshua spoke, as did Viracocha, same thing, long before Jesus appeared 2,000 years ago, this entity, this being came in a sphere of light to the people of over in Lake Titicaca in Peru, and he appeared very similar, light of skin, long beard, white robe, and taught the same things, spoke of the same things that Yeshua spoke. Then you have Buddha, you know, we could go along throughout history, and then we have the white buffalo calf woman who brought the same words. Now, what I think we need to focus on are the words, okay, the words of what it means to be following Jesus or following Yeshua, for instance, because I feel, you know, I have my spiritual path is in the Lakota tradition. I'm indigenous person. And in our way, we pray to the Great Spirit, Creator. And in our Lakota language, it's Wakantak of the Kashua. Yeah, Angeling says, amazing, born of a virgin, how does that work? Yeah, that's a very good question, but it seems to be something going on throughout history. And I don't have an answer to that, but I do. I've had some experiences with miracles, I'll tell you. So I don't have an answer to that, but I do feel that there are many things that man, in their greed and control, has usurped many things that are real and factual. Of course, you know, you say factual because, well, we weren't there. But I guess I'm pointing to the things that seem to be down throughout history these particular words, which are to be loving, to be kind, to be compassionate, and don't kill anybody, for heaven's sakes. Yeah, and if you want to throw the first stone, you've got to step up to the plate if you haven't had sin. But, you know, I just saw this post on Facebook. I keep seeing these posts, and I keep addressing them, but it doesn't seem to do any good. And what it is it's the vile hatred toward a sitting president and against those who have voted for this president, Donald Trump. I did not vote for Donald Trump. It doesn't matter. What I am talking about is the hatred that I see rising in this country. And I see these people who claim that because of Donald Trump, hatred and violence and white supremacy has risen. And then they turn around and spew such hatred and vile comments upon this man and those who voted for him. You know, and I'm like, kind of like confused. And what is that? The righteousness and arrogance and hatred is amazing to me, but it's like a mob, you know. People that, I read this post where somebody says they want to forget impeachment and go right to the hanging. Just hang him. They're talking about hanging a sitting president. Forget impeachment. And people are laughing, putting up smiley faces. And I'm like, wow, what the heck? And I have read in our history over time, people by mob rule have been stoned to death,
yeah,
have been hung, have been dragged through the streets, have been burned at the stakes, right?
Yeah.
And here we are today. People on Facebook. Now, these people are pretty nice-looking, kind people. I mean, they post other things which are, I'd say, along the lines of spiritualness, right? Or even maybe Christians. But it confuses me. What is afoot here? What is going on this level that we see today where you point a finger at a person for making hate rise up and then you spew out hate and, you know, and advocate hanging him without any, no right, no clues, no realities, no facts, no factual information, nothing. You have nothing except a bunch of, you know, theories, no, but here they are. And I'm like really disturbed by this. And I do feel that there are sacred beings. I have had experiences with beings, with angels. I had an extraordinary experience with an angel. And, you know, I am not a religious person. I'm a spiritual person. That doesn't make me any better or any worse than anyone else.
I got a strange comparison to make. Now, I'm not trying to, you know, compare Trump to Jesus by any means. That's not what I'm trying to get at. So I'm trying to pick my words carefully. But Jesus was killed by the same people that he came to save. All right, and Trump, for whatever he is, maybe he is trying to do a good job, but because of people's political views or ideology, when I told about how Pilate was about to let Jesus go, just punish him and let him go, the whole crowd went, no, 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 you know, then he ends up being executed. Well, that's pretty much exactly what you just explained out about how all these people are talking about forget impeachment, just run straight towards hanging the man. And then the fact that people would sit around and laugh and stuff like that, you know, or throw smiley faces up about it, you know, it's just not to, I'm not saying Trump's a savior, don't get me wrong, that's not the comparison that I'm trying
to make. It's not about him, it's about the people's behavior toward another human being, to me. Yeah, it's about that level of visceral, of hate, of a mob mentality, where in an instant, someone can be dragged out of their door and hung or burned at the stake. I mean, we have seen this throughout history, and some of it has been perpetrated by the church, as we know.
Yeah.
You know,
this article that you posted on there, you know, Jesus was, for a person that supposedly not exist according to some people, he's pretty much a hated guy. When you get all the way up to modern day, China tells Christians to replace the image of Jesus with a communist president.
That's pretty creepy.
Look, if Jesus never existed, why would you even worry about
it? Why would you care?
Yeah.
You know, why would you even care? It's the same thing with the new AI God religion coming. You know, artificial intelligence is going to be the new religion, the new God. My question, and here Angeline put this up, and he's right. He said, we were to follow Christ, not worship him.
Yeah.
The character said that himself. I am not the greater good. There is but one, the garden, that of which we are properties of. And that is so true. Now, what is it? Why does it make people uncomfortable when you start talking about this? All that this person, Yeshua, spoke was love and to be good and kind, and he had the ability to heal people. Now, in our culture, and we call them holy men, by the way, holy men and women have the ability, and I have seen it, to manifest miracles, but they do it through their love of the Great Spirit,
well,
Creator.
Yeah. And Jesus said that all these things that I do, you can do, and you will do greater things if you believe. And he was talking about, just like you explained it, you know, this is of God, this is of the Creator, this is of, you know, he came from God, basically with a message. And so he was essentially telling us, we could heal one another. We could do so much.
And we have, and I've seen that over and over and over again. But for me as a healer, as a person who carries that beautiful gift, it is not me who heals, okay? It is my connection and my love for Great Spirit. And I open myself as that vessel. We are all vessels. And you can open yourself to Satan, or you can open yourself to Creator. It's either or. It's your choice. You can do evil, or you can do good, and we have that gift given to us. It is a free will the Creator gave to everyone. You can choose to be a healer, someone who loves others and kind, compassionate, or you can choose to be dark and snarky and hateful like those people I've been looking at. I'm like shocked, frankly, because these people I know, they're good people. But what is this? This is a political push here. This is politics that put people against each other to actually want to advocate stoning or hanging, you know, or burning at the stake. This is where we get into trouble. And this has happened throughout history. It's called the mob, you know.
Well,
the mob rule.
Even when he's vindicated through, you know, all the different investigations and stuff, these folks aren't willing to let go. They're not willing to let go. They hate him so bad that they're not willing to let go. And so, you know, there's a lot of innocent people, because of that particular mindset throughout history, you know, were killed. I mean, what you said earlier about Jesus running around talking about peace and love and taking care of one another and, you know, casting the first stone and all that. Why is that worthy of death, you know?
Well, that's true, but he was speaking a lot of truth. What he was doing, from what I understand, and that's what's happening today with Donald Trump, is he is exposing the evil. And so evil ramps up and tries to take that person down through lies and manipulations, and we see that going on. We see that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there is no proof. There are no factual proofs. People are saying there's proof, but so where is the proof that there was collusion or that there was, you know, whatever, treason? Okay, but that is not true. There is no proof. So there was no proof that Jesus, you know, or Buddha, or whomever, that those people that throughout history were also attacked and crucified for the goodness that they carried.
Yeah, I understand. You know, like I said, this is a really tough subject to talk about these days because...
Yeah, because listen, is like you started out saying, apologizing. Don't apologize. You're going to hear me say a lot. Do not apologize for your beliefs because you believe in something good and something kind and something loving. Why should you apologize? If people feel uncomfortable about your love, your compassion, your kindness, I'm concerned about them. Why does it make people uncomfortable? Okay, well, I have to say, to me, organized religion, when people stand up and start spewing out their religious beliefs as an organized system, that makes me uncomfortable.
It makes me uncomfortable. I don't like going there and having a pastor tell me that my words are nothing more than filthy rags to my Creator. I mean, if my Creator, if the story was true about Jesus, why would my Creator send His Son down there to die for my sins if my words were nothing more than filthy rags? If He loved me so much that He was going to sacrifice His own Son. You see what I'm trying to say here?
It don't make sense. I do, but also my question is, all these people who go to church, organized, who are organized by these men, by this system, which is an authoritarian system, by the way, and one of the wealthiest, I'm just speaking of the Christian church, and this is not, you know, I'm just focusing on that, as one of the wealthiest corporations in the world, with a lot of big, bad, dirty stuff going on behind their wall.
Well, you think that with all that money, if they were truly trying to take care of God's people, with all that money, they could have by now solved the starvation and the homelessness and sickness.
No, they point fingers at everyone else to make them feel guilty because guilt is the game they play, my
That's
dear.
It, right there. And that's the same reason why those commercials keep coming on TV showing you a starving, sick baby and stuff. Of course, that's going to tear at my heart. And they said, if you care, you'll send your money. Well, what the heck just happened here? If
that's
I care, I'll send my money?
It's the same thing with those billionaires fighting over how much money they're going to donate to the cathedral, Notre Dame, which, by the way, you know, is usurped the goddess, the great sacred mother, and try to pretty much, Christianity has really worked very hard to destroy any memory or any semblance of knowing the sacred mother. But this is the patriarchy dominator rulers who have usurped everything and basically have set up their authoritarian system that we are underneath, that we are, you know, basically they have their boot upon us. And so my question is about, you know, basically is about the goodness of this person who supposedly was crucified and died for our sins. Okay, so, you know, I question that from my own perspective because I believe in a greater being, a loving, unconditional, loving creator, great spirit, who basically, you know, loves us unconditionally. Well, what does that mean, loving us unconditionally? See, I don't believe in sin. I believe that we do bad things. Humans do bad things, and some people do really awful, awful things. You want to call it a sin, it doesn't matter to me. I think that people, ultimately, when we leave this body, this temple, okay, and we travel into the realm, or back into the realm of spirit, we are spirit, you know, we will meet the you know, those, and some people meet an angel, some people say they meet Jesus or Yeshua, I think it's what you believe in, but in our tradition we say the grandmothers and the grandfathers, the ancestors, will be waiting. And they will ask you, you know, grandson, granddaughter, we gave you a job to do on the earth, how did you do? So there you have to meet yourself. It's sort of like when we go on a vision quest, I say to the people who I'm sending out on the mountain to 4 days, 4 nights, no food, no water, I say to them, you will meet yourself, okay? You will see who you really, truly are. We go out there to pray, you know, to pray and perhaps have a guidance or vision, but we meet ourselves and the deeds that we had done, good and not good. And this is a review, or called a life review. But in that moment, okay, you become aware of if you had done good or not and what you did, and you feel, you experience, if you did harm to someone, you in that moment, you identify that whole experience within your whole self. It's like empathy. If you have, if you feel people's pain, if you feel sad or sorrowful when you see a child or someone else being harmed or hurt, you feel it in your whole self.
Yep.
But this is 1,000 times more than when you were meet your maker, I guess you'd say, or in our way, the grandmothers and the grandfathers, and you stand there and they say, how did you do? And you review what you did or didn't do. You experience it 1,000 times. To me, that's what this is all about, okay? Because I feel we are spiritual beings here in this embodied to learn things, to choose through our free will, you know, to grow, to become, what we were meant to be. And some people choose to do harm. Some people choose to do good. We could all be that person. You know, my saying, I love that saying, therefore, but the grace of God go I. You know, when you point your finger at someone who's lost, who's in a dark place and doing harm, therefore, but the grace of God go I. So the grace of God, what is the grace of God? Okay, it is like that love or connection that I have with the Great Spirit. You say God, okay, but to me it's the same thing. So it's my relationship that I chose not to go down that pathway where that person has gone who was doing harm. So I chose, so therefore the grace of God that I feel within me, or Great Spirit, that I am filled with this love and my connectedness and my relationship has actually prevented me from going down that pathway doing horrible, horrible deeds. So I feel we are in a big school here. I don't abide by the sin thing. I don't. So going back to Jesus dying for our sins, okay, that tells me, and I'm not saying I believe in that, okay, I'm just speaking about what we know. If Jesus, Yeshua, died for our sin, that means that if we do sin, we're already forgiven. That's what that means, correct?
Well, it sounds to me like unconditional love for that, to give us a bridge back, just in case. So I don't understand. I don't know how to explain why it is that I feel the way that I do about this deal. But if you're willing to put yourself out for another, to me that's a sacrifice. You sacrifice maybe your shirt off your back to give somebody who don't have a shirt on their back, you know. And that's how, you can show your love, is to give, unconditionally to somebody. Well, if according to the story, God sent His Son down here to sacrifice for us, that's the ultimate sacrifice. You can't sacrifice more than giving up your entire life for somebody, And to the extent that if you dedicate your life to helping others and doing good things instead of going out there running amok and doing all bad things that you can possibly get into, That's a sacrifice in itself. I could do whatever I want with my time. I don't need to go out there and try to be nice to people. I don't owe these people anything, or do I? You see what I'm trying to say here?
Well, what I'm going to say is, if Yeshua died for our sins, that means everything's really okay, right?
Well,
everything's okay, but then we go about our lives. So what does this mean? We go about our lives. We are challenged. We are tempted. We make choices through our free will. We get lost. We get off the path of the light and the connectedness to Great Spirit and Creator. And we do dirty deeds. And what is going on? What's this mean? To me, it means, regardless of the appearance of Yeshua, okay, if we want to take the fact that all of our sins are taken care of now, just wipe your hands, you're okay. Yeshua died for our sins, meaning that we are forgiven, that we are loved unconditionally. And there you go, children. You're going to make mistakes. you're going to choose this pathway, you're going to fall down, you're going to do harm, blah, blah, blah. But when you get back to me, guess what? You will meet and see and experience everything that you chose to do. And by the way, did you learn anything?
Well, see, that makes perfect sense to me. I mean, you know, I believe I believe we are answerable for our own actions. And Angeline wrote something in there earlier. I can't remember. I'm just paraphrasing, but it had something to do with how we actually basically create our own problems here in the world as people.
Well, we do. Here it is. Man is, I think this is it, man is the proximate cause of his own demise. We do it to ourselves through separation from God, confusion of faith, as it is written, and I totally agree. You know, my language is a little differently. I don't use the word God, but I do say, and I have been saying, that the key in this timeline, and it has always been, but mostly now, is building and creating our foundation, our spiritual foundation, and that means relationship with the Creator, Great Spirit. Now, you could say it another way. You would say is to build your foundation through your connection to God, your love of God. Be like the message and the messenger says. Be loving. Be kind. Build that foundation, because that is a power beyond our imagining. It is the shield of light, the power of light and love that you cannot break through, that nothing, no entity, no evilness, no darkness can break through or affect you if you are holding the vibration and the frequency of your Creator, in my way, Great Spirit, the power of that love.
Yeah.
That's how I talk about it.
And
we do create our own reality, but we have to keep looking at where are we? Who are we? What is our source, and why are we here?
Well, before you get too far there, I want to touch on something Jesus talked about. He had a parable in here where he talked about building your house on stone instead of sand. You know, that's a common sense kind of thing. Building a sturdy foundation.
Build the foundation.
Yeah.
Well, we were given this. We were given this paradise here. To me, we live in a paradise. Creator loved us so much.
I believe that too.
I feel Creator is a frequency, a being of unconditional love, joy, peace, and creation. To me, this is a creation that is beyond, awesome. The beauty that this Mother Earth is, before we came along and had our own free will and started messing things up, this is a paradise here. Everything we needed was given to us. Creator gave us everything. Why do you think do you think that the medicines on the Mother Earth, the natural medicines, are random? Do you think that the way the creation here is in sync with each other and all things are connected and related in nature, do you think that that's random? I mean, if people think that that's random, I question that. How can something like this be so random? Now we know, of course, of the sacred geometry, the golden rule, that all things in nature, plus humans, have this golden rule. The emphasis on sacred geometry and the emphasis on the golden rule, which are the numbers. All things add up.
Well, yeah, I always equate when people talk about how things work out, or, you know, evolution or whatever, I say, now you take a 500 piece puzzle and take it in your hand and just slap it on the floor and do that as many times as necessary until everything just happens to work out and that puzzle lands perfectly where you see the picture. Count up how many times it would take to actually do that, and you would have basically the same example of what it took to put this world, like you said, medicines. This world is an amazing self-contained biosphere. It recycles everything into the system. It's provided food and materials for shelter.
And it heals itself. It's left alone. It heals itself. I mean, we have the mycelia. Our knowledge about the mycelia, for instance, you know, the web of nature, how it heals and communicates, really literally communicates and feeds and nurtures each other throughout the whole. I mean, this is a miracle. This earth is a miracle.
Yes,
you know.
Is.
And so then we have something that arrived or appeared, and this goes to, here's where we go to, deeper in the questions of, okay, if God, I'm going to use your phrase, if God created this miracle with everything that we would ever need and created this physical self that sent a spirit to embody within it, okay, well, what started to mess us up? What was that? Well, you know, we have the Bible that tells us of, you know, the light bearer there, the Lucifer, which is the bringer of light, fell to earth because wanted to usurp the position of the God, be the God, and a bunch of his supposed angels went along with that, and they turned their back on the great spirit creator, and decided that they wanted to rule everything, and they fell down to earth, they were sent down to earth to rule here for 1,000 years. Why would great spirit creator do that? Why would this omniscience, this light, this being of joy and love and peace, created this miracle here, we included, send down and allow these entities to come down here and mess things up and tempt us? Well, okay, here's the words, tempt us. Well, there's a test. There is a challenge. So it's all a plan. Is this the plan? Are we here, okay, to see how we can develop, how we choose, what we choose, our free will? Will we choose to continue to stay aligned with the light, with love and peace and compassion? And then you have, throughout history, it's not just Yeshua, it's the peacemaker, it's Kanku Khan, the feathered serpent, it's Viracocha, it's the white buffalo calf woman. Over history, throughout history, when things were really messed up and getting bad for the people, these beings appeared. They all brought the same words. Hey, you people, get it together. Start loving one another. If you follow this way, all things will be in harmony and balance, and you will survive in a beautiful way.
And see, that makes perfect sense to me. You know, there's two paths that we can take, either one towards destruction or one back to where we belong, which is, you know, basically the equivalence of heaven. You know, I honestly believe that we have the power to bring about a heaven on earth if we choose to do so. I mean, if we worked in perfect harmony with one another and nature, think about that. I saw a video one time that just kind of blew my doors off. And one half of my brain said, this is so unrealistic given modern day culture, but it would be so wonderful. In this one particular video, there were a crowd of people gathered in this meadow, and they were all asking each other, who needs bread, who needs water, you know, does anybody need blankets? And they were all taking care of each other, and it just seemed so peaceful and harmonious. I was thinking, man, that's a place I would love to be. But, you know, when we have to experience life, we go through the trials and tribulations, all the goods and the bads, and we have a choice where to go. You know, we could go either down either road. We could tear this world apart, or we could fix it back up and work together. And so to me, if you love your creation and you really want to see what your creation can truly accomplish, what better way to glorify your creator than to take all that you've been given and do the best that you could possibly do for one another and fix it? You see what I'm trying to say here? I honestly believe that we were given that choice, whether to fix it or tear it down. We were caretakers. We were, we were our brother's keeper.
Well, we all got the original instructions, and then everything went kablooey, and that was deliberate, I do believe. And I believe that if you say Creator God knows everything, created everything, and I know that the Creator also created those sorcerers. They told me, we are part of creation. You cannot dispel us, but you can hold us at bay through your love and your relationship to the divine and the sacred and love. Okay, so then you have to look at that. So I believe that this was paradise. We were given paradise, and then we all got confused through manipulations that were deliberate. Now, so when you have a child, your child gets to a certain age, and as they're growing up, you start to think about, you know, I mean, as a parent, I did this, I'm sure parents do this, you start to worry and be concerned about what your child will experience out in the world, you know. What's going to happen to my child? You know, I want my child to be a good person. I want them to have, you know, be safe. I want them to have experience, you know, love and goodness and so on. And your child goes out the door at a certain age, and you must let go. Your child is on their journey, just like you were on your journey from your parents. Yep. So it's sort of like you let go of your child. But what do you do? You know, so you start thinking of your child, and it's sort of like you keep connected to your child in a prayerful way, in a hopeful way, in a faith-based way, that my child will be protected, my child will be kept safe, and my child will become a good person. You know, but you cannot follow your child down that pathway. You cannot walk in your child's shoes. You can't drag them along or push them away from, you know, things that are going to challenge them or choices that they're going to make, because they must go on their sacred journey as well. And they will be tempted, and they will be, you know, challenged and so on. And I think that Creator knows all about that.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I think the message is, what are you going to do while you're here in this life experience? What will your choices be? How will you function? Will you be the person who does harm, or will you be the person who loves?
You can't.
And then, that's what I think we're here for.
You can't walk in your child's shoes just like you can't walk in any other person's shoes. You got to walk in your own shoes. But what you can do is, from your experience, give them the tools to be able to know, you know, give a better informed choice, so to speak. Look, this is what happened to me when I was a kid. You know, you don't want to go down that road and that kind of stuff. We can give them a choice. But,
yeah,
you know, but by being that, I like to say lighthouse, because a lighthouse is out there for a purpose, you know.
Well, a lighthouse to me is a beacon, and I often say to Great Spirit that I am your beacon, filled with your love and your light and your compassion for all of creation. I envision what a beacon is, okay? But I'm talking about, as a parent. Now, if you say God, Great Spirit, Creator, is the creator of us, is a parent. That parent lets their children go on their journey. I'm just saying. And just has that hope and prayer for that child. Knows that child is going to fall down. Knows that child is going to meet challenges and have a moment where they must make a choice. Prays for that child. Has great hope for that child to make the right choices. Because when they return home, when they come back to mama, when they come back to papa, they're going to sit down at the kitchen table, all right, and they're going to tell their story, and mama and papa are going to want to know, well, what was your journey like? What happened to you? So happy to see you return home. And Creator's the same way. I feel that we are the children, the sacred children. Every one of us is sacred, created out of unconditional love and joy. That's what creation is. You, as a painter, as an artist, as a singer, someone who has been given a gift by, you know, by birth, and they are sharing their gift, this is the joy that a parent would have, that their child is sharing their gift given to them. That is this joy, okay? And so this is how I look at us. We're sacred children here. What are the gifts we've been given at birth, and are we sharing them? Are we developing them? Are we spreading our wings and flying in gratitude and honor of our mother, father, you see?
Yeah.
So we'll return. We will go back home after we leave this body. I do feel we will go back to source, and we must meet the questions at the kitchen table. Okay, so how did you do? I gave you these gifts. I gave you this job to do. You know, I had hope and prayers for you that you would be a good person, that you would walk in a sacred way, that you would be kind, that you would be loving. How did you do? So your mama and your papa doesn't get angry and furious at you when you say, well, I messed up, I did this, I did that, blah, blah, blah. Whoa, are they going to embrace you? They will embrace you. They will love you anyway, unconditionally. This is what it is. I feel.
I believe that too. I had I'm just gonna call it a vision, because even if it was a dream, I've had dreams where I dreamt something in the dream and I woke up and there it was, right in the place where it was in the dream. So I'm just gonna call it a vision. But I had this vision that I got to actually stand in the presence of our God, our Creator. It's so hard to explain. There are no human words to physically explain. You could take the best writers in the world to take their words and do magic to put the best compilation of words together, but there is no human words that can explain the type of love that I felt in my heart standing in the presence of this being, this entity, or whatever you want to call it. But
right.
Even if I wanted to think something bad, I couldn't. In that type of
It doesn't exist, because we are in that moment, our true nature, which is spirit.
Yeah.
What is not present is what is present with us when we are in the body,
but
which is ego, fear, guilt, memories, regret, all of that stuff.
But what I found in through that quest was that the further I got away from that, the darker things become, the more uncomfortable, the nastier, the more distorted things become. And if you look into this world out here, you can walk a path, no matter how bad this world is, you can walk a path of a self-journey of your own journey. And if you hold true to what you believe, if you hold true to the goodness in your heart, you won't be doing all these terrible things that's going on around you. You won't allow those things to, interfere with you. Like somebody had mentioned just yesterday about people cursing. You can stand next to somebody who's just cursing like a sailor, and if you stand there long enough, you might find yourself cursing like a sailor. And you don't have to stand there and partake in that, or give them the benefit of saying, this is all right. And my grandma used to tell me, you teach people how to treat you, kind of thing. And so, I got a choice of where I want to go in this world. I got a choice of what I want to do. If our Creator didn't care about us, He could just say, look, you're my slave. I made you. I'll kill you if I don't like what you did. So do that. No. Give us this paradise, and all these other things happen, and next thing you know, everybody's running amok, and they're believing whatever they're believing, anything contrary to where they actually came from. And then those of us who feel like we're spiritually waking up are actually trying to work our way back to this source, because we know what it felt like when we were standing there. Does that make sense?
Absolutely it does, and I've experienced that as well. And I didn't want to leave that. I didn't want to come back to this earth, because I knew what was going to be coming. I was in my 30s when I went into the light, when I was taken out of my body, and I experienced the most profound love and joy that you can experience. But we, as humans, we do experience love, but it's nothing compared to what the true source of love is from that sphere, that energy, that frequency of unconditional love and beauty and joy, where you are fully embraced and there is no awareness of earth experience, which is the challenge that we came here as a spirit to participate in. I do believe that.
Well, I say to people all the time in the science world, we have every bit of knowledge and technology to quite literally solve every single problem under the sun. The only problem that we haven't seemed to be able to get a grip on is the human condition. The mindset.
Well, I think that's part of the agenda. And I'm going to say, I really realize that there is an assault, an attack upon the sacrosanct. Everything that is sacred is being attacked. And I'm talking right from our babies, our children before they're born, to the Mother Earth, to the waters, to the air, to our very being. Everything, the Mother Earth, is being attacked, assaulted, and sickened. And I would say, well, we talk about the human people that are doing this, okay? We could talk about the elite, we could talk about the corporations, we could talk about GMOs, we could talk about all the, what we know as so-called humans participating in this, the pedophilia, the sex trafficking, the violence against children. I mean, we could talk about that, but there's something behind this, I do believe, these acts, this assault upon the sacred, okay, because it is, and to me, that is something very dark and very evil. What on earth and what in the cosmos would want to destroy and harm the sacred? To me, that tells me a lot. And you know, I have experienced evil. I have experienced people who have been taken over by evil. I have seen these entities. This is very real. And I have also seen miracles, and I have also experienced angelic beings and the light and various other things. So we have positive, negative. We have yin-yang, dark, light, good, bad.
Well, I'm right there with you, and I'm always telling people I've seen things that no man or woman should ever have to lay eyes upon, and I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. There is
no, and I believe that. I've said that myself, and when you do experience that, it changes your life. I mean, when you really get it, when you realize that there is this evil, and it is very real, and it wants to destroy you, your family, and everything that we love. And how we have to then question ourselves as a human being who has been given free will. Well, how am I participating? What am I creating? Because we are co-creators. We have a power given to us.
Well, yeah, and there's one other thing, though. You have to ask this question. If these things out there, why is it that everything that is good, somebody out there wants to cover up? I mean, this Chinese president wants to put his picture over, you know, what I believe that my savior was. They want to put the picture over Christ, all right? Well, that's not just it. They want to put...
Well, that's a communist. They're a communist.
They want to put Baphomet next to the baby Jesus on Christmas. They want to put... They want to put symbols of darkness next to... They want to take In God We Trust off of everything, out of the courts, out of the schools. Okay, if... Let's say, hypothetically, you don't believe in none of that stuff. What's it hurt for me to live by the golden rule? Do no harm, okay?
That's the whole point we're getting at, the golden rule. You see, I feel, now, you know, I make my statement again, I do not believe in organized religion because I believe that all organized religions has done great harm to people. It has basically taken them away from their original relationship to God or Creator, okay? It has put a human in between them and their creator and telling them that they're sinful. So, but I believe that these people in China, they have a right to their religion.
Yep.
Okay, everyone has a right to how they want to pray, you know, and unfortunately, the church has taken advantage of people, but still in all, the people that are choosing this, they deserve to have that choice. They deserve to be able to pray in the way they want to pray.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm standing in that, okay? I still have my belief that, okay, these people are Christians and they want to go to that church and they want to do all the little, you know, recitals and various rituals and so on, and they believe that they're sinners and they believe these men in dresses and so on. That's their prerogative. They should be able to do that. They should be able.
As a society, all right, as a society, you know, even if I wasn't a believer or whatever, I would rather a whole bunch of people living peacefully believing in the tooth fairy, as long as they weren't trying to harm anybody. If they could pray to the tooth fairy all they want. They would worship and give all their teeth away every so often, you know, pull a tooth and sacrifice it to the tooth fairy. If that was their own choice, their own journey, and they weren't forcing teeth out of the mouths of others, then, you know, if that kept peace on the land, I would let them have it. I would let them do what they needed to do as long as they were peaceful, as long as they weren't harming anybody. So why would I have to go out there and hide the tooth fairy from them? I wouldn't, you know, want to say, look, you can't look at the tooth fairy or you're going to get beheaded, you know. That's not what we do around here. You see what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I agree with you. It's sort of like, there you have, that's the conundrum with organized religions and the rising beliefs in, you know, people's beliefs. They have a right to their own belief. But when you start forcing other people, when you start beheading people, when you start stoning people, caning people, whatever, because they're not following your belief, that's scary to me. They have no right, you know. You have the indoctrination of children, sexualizing children, but the indoctrination of the gender issue here.
And you know,
full force.
On that stoning thing, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I got to put this point in there. On that stoning thing, Jesus was without sin, so he could have thrown that stone at that lady. But he did not. He handed it out there. Anybody here without sin, you know, can cast the first stone. Anyone you want this stone. And he had it in his hand. Jesus could have thrown it, but he didn't throw it. Wouldn't that be
This is the teachings of Yeshua and Viracocha and the peacemaker and white buffalo calf, all the same words. None of them would pick up that stone. They left teachings for us to live by.
There you go.
And it's the same teaching. So here we are, we're being inundated with people who are saying, I'm a Christian, but let's hang Donald Trump.
Yeah, they're willing to pick up a stone and throw it. That's the problem.
They are.
That's not what Jesus taught.
Well, but you see, there is a plan here to eliminate these good words, these teachings, this guidance on how to live. And this is where we are today, that we have come to a point where, you know, people are throwing stones and stoning people to death and willing to, you know, hang a president without any proof, only what the mainstream media has lied to them about. There's conjecture, there's no proof. And this is what we're looking at, there's no proof. And therefore, but the grace of God go I.
Yeah.
You know, it could be me being dragged out of the house to be burned as a witch.
And that's why everybody looks on Halloween as witches all wicked and green, and they look on Easter as the Easter bunny and Easter eggs and candy, and they look past the naturalist beliefs, and they look past the Christian beliefs, the true version of what we're talking about.
Well, you know, witch,
it's a
the
distraction.
The word witch came out of the word Wiccan. Okay? A Wiccan is an earth-based religion, if you want to talk about religion. Okay? And they were herbalists and women who used the medicines of the earth, the medicines of the land, and they healed people, you know? They were women who had these gifts. But they were called, that was a Wiccan religion. It's an earth-based religion, just like the Druids.
Well, that's what, you know? What my point was, that anything that may have potentially been good had been so incredibly distorted. I mean, like, in Islam, they say that the Islamic people are really peaceful, but the book says kind of otherwise. And so when you believe that it's okay to run around chopping off people's heads and torturing them and using them in you know, terrible ways, that to me, that's not something I can follow.
Well, you know, throughout our history, we have had, you could look back at history and you could say, well, the people of Germany were good people. They were Catholics. They were Christians. They were, you know, good people. You know, and then some guy comes along and riles them all up, and they all shift into participating in genocide.
Yep.
The same thing here on Turtle Island. The people who came here carried the Bible underneath their arms, and they left, you know, from persecution of their own religion. They came here, and then they were riled up
to basically, you know, through a pope who said, yeah, you can, if there's not a Christian on that land, you can take their land and you can murder them.
Let me say something to that.
So you have peaceful people, okay, so you have peaceful people throughout our history basically committing genocide upon others. You go to China, Mao Zedong, go to Japan. Go all over the world and you have this history where peaceful people living on the land, farmers and so on, were suddenly taken in mass to commit genocide upon each other.
Well, before we get too far away from, you know, what happened here on Turtle Island, if that march would have been led by Jesus and Jesus would have been saying that, I wouldn't be a Christian. I would not, because that's not what he said. You see what I mean? He didn't tell everybody to go in there and slaughter people. He didn't tell everybody to go kill buffaloes for sports. He didn't tell everybody to go around and run them off their land. He was preaching love and peace and doing unto others as you'd have them do unto you. If Jesus would have been ahead of that and that army that came in and did the terrible deeds that they did, I would have no part in calling myself a Christian, because that's not where my spirit was born of. My spirit was born of love, and I know this, you know. And
so humans have determined upon their own free will to commit such atrocities upon other human beings due to their color or their other religion or whatever. Have the capacity to do such atrocities throughout our history. It's mind-boggling to me. And they claim to be Christians.
Yep.
Or as we know now, Muslims, or of another religion, but mostly it's the Christians in our history.
That phrase, if you're going to walk the walk, or talk the talk, then walk the walk. And I know that, I really don't like the way that sounds, but either way, if you're going to claim to be a Christian, you should walk as close to that Christ-like figure that you're supposedly you're believing in. You should try to walk that walk as closely as possible. You know, you see what I mean? If you're not,
well, it's a simple thing to me. I don't particularly say that Jesus saved me. But I do believe that there were more than one, and Yeshua is one of them, who came to earth to remind us of the sacred word and the way to live in harmony and balance and peace. So I don't particularly say that Jesus saved me, okay? But I do believe in the existence of Yeshua and many others who came with the same message. So this message is a beautiful message. I mean, it's not an evil message.
Well, I have no problem with that, because
it makes common sense. I mean, these beings were sent by some omniscience who said, oh, my children down there, they forgot where they're going and they're messing things up. Let me send someone here to remind them, put down your weapons. You know, the peacemaker said we must come together. We're killing each other.
Well, yeah, and in the doggone every game out there, football, baseball, there's a referee and, people out
there. Well,
and
people are cheering the collisions of human beings and crashing and smashing into each other.
Yeah.
The brutalness of these games, it's like, you know, the Roman games, to me, but people are cheering. When there's one side and then there's the other side.
But my
and that's
point,
the political arena, it's one side and the other side.
But my point in that is that, you know, if you look at a football game, it's like the battle between good and evil, and there's somebody out there, you know, being the referee, saying this is these are the rules, and you can do this and you can't do that. And even in this spiritual battle that we got going on out here, there's somebody, something, refereeing this deal. There's certain, you know, I say this all the time.
Well, there's a lot of money involved,
but
of course. I mean, greed is a big piece of the dark.
Even in the sci-fi world.
Yes.
A vampire cannot come into your house unless you invite that entity in. Just like the devil can't come into your house unless you invite the devil in. And, you know, that could be used in so many different ways, as if, you know, the words coming out of your mouth being as powerful as they are, I can sit here and bleep bleep for the next 5-10 hours, and you know, I'll run everybody and his brother on a huff, and if I got a message to give them, they're not going to hear that message. Why would you sit around somebody's going to completely disrespect you and treat you terribly, you know, and contradict everything that is to do with goodness? You see what I mean? So something's out there working on our behalf, and something's out there working against us as well. So we got to figure out which one we want.
Well, I think people have to realize that there's positive and negative in all creation. There's yin yang, positive, negative, good, bad, you know, love, hate. I mean, this is part of creation, and we are in the middle here somewhere, choosing which should to follow. You know,
yeah.
How to walk. How do we want to create our life? Because that creates our life, meaning we are co-creators. We create our own reality. And the way I see it today is that if people are not awakened to the fact that there is something going on that is basically hell-bent to destroy humanity's ability to love and to be peaceful, you know, I say, and I realize this is very true, and I'm not the only one, that there is such a darkness and an evil that has been, you know, put upon us from the very beginning that needs violence, that needs hate. It's an energy. These are frequencies. They despise the frequency of love and joy and compassion. That will destroy them. The light and love will destroy them and keep them at bay, where they cannot affect us. But they love and they eat the frequencies of hatred and I guess you want to call it, I'm going to go to so far as to say blood sacrifice, because war is a blood sacrifice.
Oh yeah.
And there are many things that have happened in our history that have created a sacrificial lambs, as you want to call it. The sacrificial lambs, the innocent, okay, that somebody, something, some entities find joy in that. Find food in that. It's the frequency of hate and violence and blood, terror and grief. It's a frequency.
My question would be, why is it that we keep feeding the monster that we all despise? This monster that is the system, and even organized religions for that matter, we keep feeding this monster. Why do we do that?
Well, I feel that that's part of the agenda. This is a big, long psychological plan, millennial plan going on here, how to really usurp the minds of humans. Okay, because when you start with the brainwashing, you know, we know that when you are a child, how vulnerable you are. You know, you're a vulnerable little child. You're innocent. You're vulnerable. You believe your peers. You know, you believe the authorities, because your parents did and your grandparents did. So this has been going on a very long time. We have technology that is working steadily to basically own our minds and control our lives. And this is part of the plan, you know. I mean, so we have some dark stuff going on here. And I think that there's a level here where people are so lost, but they have this longing. I mean, I've had people come to me over the years where they say, I don't know what's going on with me. I feel lost. I have this yearning, a longing inside of me, but nothing is fulfilling it, you know. So people are told by the TV or whatever to go out and buy this. You will be happy. You know, your life will be filled with joy and happiness. Go out and consume, 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 consume. But that's just, you know, a minute of happiness. It doesn't last, because what is really missing in the people is their connectedness to their true self, their true origin, and that's the spirit within them and the Creator. You know?
Well, my goal.
That's what I believe. So people are feeling something, but they're so taken and overtaken by the controlling factor of media control, advertising, and the mind control going on, that they can't find their way back.
My goal in my personal life is I'm getting closer and closer to these deer that walk this land. And I've told my wife, I will, one of these days, I will pet one of these deer. You watch. It's going to happen. And I mean it. My goal is to get as close to nature as possible. And I'm standing out there this morning, and there's deer out there, and they're watching me, and I'm watching them. And as long as I walk slowly and in peace around them, they don't run. They just look at me, you know. And they go back to eating, and I'm getting closer and closer to those deer. Now, I'm gonna wear them down, Barbara. I'm gonna wear them down. I'm gonna get their trust. I'm going to get as close as I can, and one of these days, I'm gonna put my hand on there and pet the fur of that one of those deers.
Well, I'm gonna tell you a story of Lewis and Clark. You know who they are, right?
Yeah.
It's very fascinating. You can read Lewis and Clark's journals, you know. As a matter of fact, I bought them years ago because they were so fascinating to me. So Lewis and Clark, excuse me, as you know, they were the first white people ever to come into certain regions of Turtle Island here, and they came into areas where no white men had ever been, and they met the Mandan people first out there on the plains. And during that time, they wrote in their journals, basically, that the animals, all the animals, now I'm talking elk and buffalo and deer and all kinds of animals, had no fear of humans. They could walk amongst the deer. They could walk amongst the buffalo. Until Lewis and Clark and their men started to shoot the deer, shoot the buffalo for food. Yeah. And that shifted the whole thing. The whole frequency and energy of terror of these animals, of humans, of white people, shifted. Now, why was that? Because the Indian people, the Mandan people, hunted. But here's the difference. Okay, the difference was prayer. The difference was respect. The difference was the offerings that the Indian people were guided by Creator, Great Spirit, as stewards of the earth, which, by the way, the white people got that message too, but they lost their connectedness to their original instructions on how to live in harmony and balance. Didn't mean that you didn't have food or go out and hunt. What it meant was to be the steward means that you do this in a respectful, prayerful way. So never did they just go out randomly hunting and shooting animals. They did a ceremony first. They had a prayer. They asked help from the animals that they were going to hunt that day to send one of their own who wanted to sacrifice their lives to help the people, the children and the old people and so on, to live. And invariably, this is what happened. When the hunter went out and offered the prayer and everything, that it was always an animal, either a deer or a buffalo, that would separate from the rest of their pack and come into an area where the hunter could actually take the life. And not only did he take the life of that animal, but he also left a bit of that for other creatures. That was the way the Indian people lived, in stewardship on this earth. So you see, the animals were not afraid of humans. The animals were actually our teachers and communicated with us. And we spoke, and I still speak to the animals.
Well, I want to get back to that. I want to get that close to creation as possible. That's my goal. I'm out there talking to turtles. I'm talking to bunny rabbits and raccoons. I got raccoons and possums that come up there, and they sit amongst the cats, and they'll eat cat food right along the cats. Cats aren't even bothered by them. And, you know, I go out there and I talk to them. When they first see me, they get scared. They run off. And, you know, once they see that I'm sitting there, I'm not bothering them or anything, they'll sneak back up there and they'll eat. And as long as I don't make no fast moves, they'll stay there. But, you know, to modern society, if you would look at me talking to these animals, somebody would assume that I was nuts. But in reality,
well, that's such a pity, isn't it? Because
yeah, it
that's
is.
The way we all originally were. But that's part of the dark. Okay, that is part of the dark that hates this relationship that we were given, this beautiful, sacred relationship with all of nature. So if you go and hug a tree and you want to save a tree, you're called a wackadoodle, you're called a nutcase, a tree hugger, a crazy person, whatever it is. But you know what? That tree has a spirit within it, and I have been in communication and have seen the spirits of the tree people. Okay, but that's the way we all were. We all had relationship with all of creation. We saw the spirits. We knew the spirits. We were in relationship, but the dark has that plan to take us all away from this original creation who we we are one with.
Well, I believe that as well. And I look at those people who look at me like I'm nuts for trying to talk to these animals, like they're nuts for not wanting to experience that bond that is created whenever those animals have trust with you. It's like, you know, the dog, your man's best friend. Some people abuse dogs like you wouldn't believe, but those dogs are so incredibly loyal that they'll keep coming back and coming back, and they will suffer the torment just so that they can try to share their love with that, you know, person.
Right.
It's
well, Angeling says something good here. He's talking about, he says the bunnies haven't a clue about English language, and he's absolutely right. Because in our tradition, we do not speak English. I do not speak English, because English is a corrupted language. It's a language that is basically a controlling lying language that basically corrupts our relationship. So I don't speak English.
You know what I do? I try to change the tone of my voice to a more loving or a peaceful when I say my words. Because your words, how you send those words out, you know, there's certain words you could use the exact same word, but it's how it sounds when it comes out, how you project it out. So I use, you might call it a frequency, but I use different tones of my voice to, you know, even though I'm not speaking.
I'm going to give you a teaching here, if you're interested.
Oh, I'm interested.
Okay, we do not speak out loud. Okay, we do not speak out loud. Okay, it is a telepathic communication from your heart. It's a communication without words. And this is how we spoke to the animals and they spoke to us. So we don't use sound. We don't use the English language. Even though I hear you, you're saying you're trying to change the cadence of the way you speak. But the way we communicate is telepathically. It is not any language out loud at all. English language is corrupt. So even if you speak like this, hello, little squirrel, it doesn't matter. Okay?
Well, I'm just trying to let them know that at least I'm making the attempt to communicate.
No. They already know if you just be quiet and go to your heart and send out that love that you have for them, they will start to communicate with you.
I'm going
to
try that. I'm going to try that today.
Good, but here's a story for you. There's a story of this couple who had this land they had the beavers brought back because their land once had beavers and beaver ponds and so on. And you know, the beavers have a very important job to do. They create ecosystem that is extraordinary, right?
Yeah.
So they had beavers brought back on their land, and it took this woman years to make friends with the beavers. And all she would do was sit at the pond daily and at night and just sit there and be quiet and just sit there filled with awe and love for those creatures. It took her years, and finally this one beaver started to get closer to her and kind of like looking at her and looking at her, and she didn't say a word. She just kept still, just filled with this love and awe of these creatures. It took a while, but that beaver finally came up on the shore and went over to her and started touching her and looking around to see, what is this?
Well, that explains the turtle, because whenever I was sitting down there with Goliath, I didn't want to make any noise to scare him off, so I just kept on being quiet. That's the best communication that I had with that turtle.
Well, that's why I'm telling you, do not speak. And so it got to the point where these beavers, this mother beaver, brought her babies to this woman. They would crawl all over her lap. They would follow her. They even went into the house. They set up a little, you know, connection there. The beavers would come in and out of the house.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was like an extraordinary relationship. But I'm saying to you, do not use the English language. It is communication through heart, spirit, telepathy. That's how we communicate with animals. We do not speak.
Well, I'm going to start today. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do it.
Yep.
I want that connection. And I, when people look at me or even make me question my own sanity because I'm doing it, they don't understand what they're actually missing. It feels so good to be out there in nature. I was out there early this morning, had my cup of coffee in my hand, and I'm just listening to the birds, and I'm watching the deer over by the pond, and they're watching me, and it's just so, so incredibly peaceful. And everybody says that they're seeking peace. They want to find that peace, and you can't find it when everything is moving so quickly and life is going by and you got all these dramas going on. You can get sucked into a drama so fast it's ridiculous. It's like all these political things going on out there. You can get sucked into these political dramas going on and trying to express to people, you know, we got solutions for things. You can't get through to them. The communication, the English language must actually even be corrupt to other humans, because I have a heck of a time formulating the proper words to say to people so that, number one, they don't cherry pick my conversation and pick out that they disagree with so that they can argue with me about it. You see what I mean? So even the words, when I'm trying to talk to other fellow humans out there, I have a hard time talking to them, because what I'm trying to say to them, if they would just let me get it out and try to formulate what it is that my point that I'm trying to get to, they might not be so quickly offended every time I talk. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, well, I think that this maybe, is the old way that I'm sharing with you.
Maybe I ought to try not talking to them and see if I can do that with my mind and my heart instead.
Well, that's the best way. And this is the way, I mean, I've had that experience. I had, blurted out, you know, I had this experience when I was on Ambalachia, which is a vision quest, and out on the mountain in an altar praying for 4 days and four nights without food and water. And this, in the middle of the night, it was very, very dark, because you go out when there's not a moon so that you can be in the dark. And I was sitting there, and this sphere, this giant sphere, larger than a beach ball, started floating out of the darkness, out of the woods, toward me. It was awesome. It was a sphere of light, like a golden light. I'd never seen anything like it. It was floating, you know, about 5 feet off the ground toward me. And I was so in awe and so surprised that I said, Metakuya Yasin, which means, oh, my relation, right? And it disappeared, poof, just like that.
Wow.
And I went, darn! As I know I'm not supposed to speak words. I'm not supposed to make sound. I'm just supposed to be in my heart spirit. And then the communication will start. A relationship starts. Even the sacred word Metakuya Yasin means we are all related. I identify you as a relation to me, a spirit, right? And something in from the light. I spoke it out loud, and that sound, okay, is adverse to the realm of spirit, which is basically our heart spirit telepathic communication. Okay, that's how it works.
Well,
yeah.
I find that sometimes my prayers, because I'm apprehensive of praying out loud, but I find sometimes that my prayers are better whenever I'm basically speaking, you know, through my own self and in my own silence. It just seems like everything seems to work out better that way.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm just trying to make get a grip on what's going on in our world. I see things in one way and other people see things in other ways. I'm just trying to say we do have solutions to fix this world. We do, and our words are powerful. That example that you just give about the golden sphere, and the moment you open your mouth, that word, the words are had the power to them. It, suddenly, it's gone, you know. And what you've been saying about, speaking to them with, and, you know, not using your voice with the animals, it makes perfect sense to me. Because when I'm quiet and I'm just calm and humble and peaceful, I can walk around these animals, but when I try to, you know, talk to them, even in the squeaky voice like you said earlier, they get nervous. They get real nervous real quick. And if I change the tone of my voice and they sense anything that seems like danger, they will bolt.
Well, I have another, one night I was up on the mountain near a pond, And I was waiting for the elder to come, my teacher Wallace Black Elk and other people, because we were going to, the next day we were going to build a lodge to pray in. And I was there and the moon was full and there were clouds drifting across the moon. It was a beautiful night and it was spring. And so there was some little bits of ice on the edges of the pond, but it was spring enough that there were a lot of peepers out, you know?
Yeah.
Peepers starting to come, and you know, that's a beautiful sound. I love that sound. And it was like, you know, your ears ring from that sound, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting there, and I'm just in quiet and peaceful. I'm listening, and I'm in joy because this is awesome to be in that sound, the full-blown peepers and frogs appearing, the sounds of that first night when they first come out. And as I sat there very quietly, I started to hear something different. My ears, so what we call it is we don't hear half of what is going on, all right, because we're basically, we've been trained to not really hear, okay, and we have been trained not to really see, and we have been trained not to really feel or sense, use our sensory gifts or perceptions, you understand?
Yep.
So I'm sitting there, and something started to shift audibly, where almost like a door opened, and suddenly I started to hear language. I started to hear voices, like we speak, the language that we speak. And I heard, what it was what we hear at a pond are peeps and ribbit, right?
The peeps. I heard music.
Yeah, well, that's a beautiful, yes, and I have heard that too. And there is the music of the ethers, or the music of the, you know, of the little people or the fairies. I have heard that many, many times. But it's through silence, okay? So what I was hearing, so a doorway opened and my audible ability shifted and expanded, and I started to hear the frogs and the peepers speaking that I could actually understand them or understand them. And that was a moment, a big shift in my realizations and of how we originally used to not only be able to hear the creatures speaking, but we would actually see and feel, okay, and in reality, what was rightfully ours from the beginning is a relationship to all of nature.
I felt this this energy is like a almost like a circle of love. You know, when you throw a pebble in the pond and that ripple goes all the way across there, the longer I sat there and watched that turtle and he watched me, and I could just feel this like spreading like a ripple clear across the property that I'm on. And it's really hard to explain unless you experience it yourself, but if you haven't experienced it, I wish everybody in this world could experience that just one time, and they would understand that there's something different going on out there. There's so much more to this world than meets the eye. It's not just what you hear or what you perceive. If you listen, I honestly believe you can hear the voice of God through your heart. I believe that beat. I believe you. If you listen, you can hear it. You know, our Creator. See, the terminology is what gets us so bad, and gets us in such an uproar. Because you know, the book said this, and these books said that, and you know, the language and all that. I like the version that you talk about, where you don't even open your mouth and you just listen. Because we actually need more people to listen. A lot of people hear what's going on, but do they truly listen to what's going on?
Well, they don't really hear, they don't really listen correctly, and they don't really hear, but you know the words, the voices on the wind, you know?
Yeah.
The voice on the wind, that's very real, you know, because the spirits of the wind do speak. All things in creation has a language that we can hear if we open our ears, but we don't open our ears. We are only trained to listen to certain things or see certain things. Like when you look at a tree, if you go out in nature and you sit there and you're looking at a tree, your mind that has been trained says to you, that's a tree, it has brown bark and green leaves. That's it, pretty much.
Yep.
because your mind has been trained. You know, we have to retrain ourselves. We have to retrain all of our sensory gifts that Creator originally gave us, okay? Because we have been brainwashed and duped to see what we've been trained to see. We don't see the fact of the vibration of that tree or the frequency of that tree or the aura of that tree or even the spirit within that tree. And if we sit there long enough, and there's certain practices that I help people to how to do this, you will actually be able to see the aura of the tree, the vibration of that tree, the life force of that tree, and the spirit within that tree.
Well, I say that when I see people, and I see it, seems to be almost like light around people, and I tell other folks that they look at you cross-eyed because what they're saying isn't what I'm talking about.
No, because they can't, because they've been trained not to see it. But we once upon a time, long, long ago, all humans were given the original instructions about how to be in relationship with all of this beautiful creation. And that part of that was how to communicate with the creatures, with the, all of creation, and to see the life force and the spirit within everything. Because in our way, we know that there is a spirit, with even in the stone people, the sacred stone people, we call them Inyan Wakan. I have had communication with the stone, the spirit of the stones. I'm a keeper of the sacred stones in our tradition.
Through my eyes, people are beautiful. I mean, it's amazing, and I swear, one day I was driving down the road and I looked out and the whole world outside me just looked like something that you would see in a, you know, a CGI or a video game. And I even thought for a second, man, am I in some sort of simulation or something? Because everything just looks so beautiful. It's unrealistic. And then I got to thinking, you know, I'm actually seeing the world as it really is, as opposed to the way that everyone sees it. If you visualize this world being a terrible place, it becomes a terrible place. If you slow down and you take a look around you and you actually take your socks off and go stand in the grass, some people call it grounding. I don't know what it is. I just tell you that it feels good to have my bare feet on the grass and touching this earth, and looking around and listening to the sounds that are being played around me, you know, and the breeze, whether it be a cool or a warm breeze, I feel so blessed to be able to feel like I do, you know, and I want to share that with people because I think that if people could only experience that one time, they would question themselves before they rushed into battle, going into war and trying to harm others and stuff like that. You know, we got amazing technology right here at our fingertips, and what we're doing right now is so incredible. You know, there's a lot of people in People for People radio network, some of them which agree with me, some of them which disagree with me, but they're all sitting there, and we're able to speak peacefully to each other and respectfully listening to what the other has to say. And to me, this is an amazing thing. It's not something that's common in our world. Normally, you go to a lot of other different chat rooms out there, and people are calling each other bad names like you wouldn't believe, and telling each other how stupid they are or whatever. And those words keep on perpetuating a negativity basically, words can start a war. You know? And how can we sit here from different backgrounds and different cultures and different ideas and be able to talk about the same exact subject of love and solutions and fixing things? You see what I mean? I think what's going on here is amazing. I think it's a miracle. I honestly believe that People for People Radio and Shaziz Radio is a miracle combined. The fact that we can work together for a common goal and try to reach out to other people out there, because I know everyone out there is seeking the truth. We're all seeking the truth. But everyone out there, they want peace in their heart. They want peace in life, and they want their family to be taken care of, and they want that for others. We all get sad when we see somebody out there suffering. Every single one of us. There's not one person among us that I could ever remember talking to that loves to see anyone hurt. You know, even some of what would be called the hardcore atheists or agnostics, I don't see them wanting to hurt anybody. But there is a dark side of humanity that, you know, is like the devil's on some people's back, and you can see it. You can literally see it. You can see it in their health, and you can see it in that light that I see when I look at people. It dims down when they're in that realm. And you look at somebody and you can tell when they're depressed. You don't even have to ask them anything. You can tell when they're depressed. You can tell when they're sick. You can tell when animals are feeling sad. You have that power within you, and it's so amazing to me. And if people could experience that one time, they would understand why it is. I say I'm a Christian because I believed in those words, what he was talking about, you know, not to treat people the way I want to be treated. I don't want anybody to beat on me, so why would I want to beat on an animal? You know, why would I want to beat on another human? You know, to watch even a depiction of people kicking Jesus around and shoving a crown of thorn on his head brings sadness to my heart like I can't explain. And to see anyone out there who, you know, would love to have a home not being able to have a home, I say to the world, if we have the power to command destruction across the land, why wouldn't we have the power to do the same in the opposite realm and go out there and make this person a home? Why couldn't we put some food on the plate and hand it to these people that are hungry? Why couldn't we do that? If tons and tons of food are wasted on a regular basis and yet there's still people starving, I don't blame that on any creator. I don't blame that on anything other than the people who didn't take that opportunity to put it on the plate of somebody who's hungry. There was a video that I saw that broke my heart. There were adults sitting around at this restaurant and they were eating in some country that I guess they would classify it as a third world country, while there were children walking around picking up scraps that were dropped off the table. You would treat your dog like that? I mean, some people would. I would, you know, give the dog some food, but I wouldn't treat the children like that. You know, I would got up out of my chair and I would have put one or two of those children in that seat and I would have said, here, you have my meal. I'll sacrifice my meal for you because you deserve it just as much as I do, and you look like you need it more than I do. So that's where I come from. And I look out there and I see this world in the shape that it's in, and it and mourns my heart, makes me sad, because I know I'm sitting here looking at the gifts and the blessings that we've been given, and I know we can fix it. There's no doubt in my mind that under the right mindset, if people use their true potential and what they're really made of, that we could resolve these problems. We could end the wars. We could lay down our arms and take up our tools, and we can take these tools and technology and the love in our heart, and we can fix these things out here. There's no reason for anyone to starve here in this nation or any other nation. There's no reason to take another man's life. Some people can get by with saying and justifying, well, it's collateral damage because, you know, we had to get the bad guy. No, that's not collateral damage. That's a travesty. Because that person's life belonged to that person. It doesn't matter. You know, you took the innocent along with the guilty. And Jesus spoke about not cutting down the weeds, you know, in order to save the wheat. And maybe some of those weeds might have turned out to be good. He was out there looking for the so-called sinner, the one, the lost, or whatever. That's what he was doing. That's why I'm where I'm at. But I believe we can fix this thing, people. I honestly believe in each and every one of you. There's a light that once you turn that light on, you'll see the world like we do. And I hope you do see the world like we do. My Jesus spoke about love. He didn't talk about going around hurting people. He didn't talk about stealing from people. He talked quite the opposite. So with that said,
well, I just added Barry, so Barry. Hi, Barry.
Barry, we love you, brother.
Hello.
What's going on in here?
Hey there.
We're creating a ruckus today. We're
okay. I got it.
We're starting a feud.
Yeah, I'm muted. First off, Barbara tells me to mute, so I'm muted. And then you start talking to me, and then I had to unmute. And of course, that doesn't work real quick on my computer. So
that's how it works.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Barry.
I haven't got my second cup in me yet, Barbara. I said 10 minutes. You're a few minutes early here.
Oh, well.
It takes two cups to get my brain going, it seems like. But it's
well, you want to hang up? You want to hang up?
No, I'm here.
We need to get Barry and Patty a one of those IV things so that they can have their coffee on time.
Wait, no, you just better start the show an hour later.
Yeah, well, that would be possible, sure, but I don't know. We got to see what we can do. But anyway, I started off talking today, Barry, about replacing Jesus, because it seems like in our culture, you know, the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus is okay to put up there, but when you put a picture of Jesus, the Chinese president wants to cover it with his own picture, and then that and the fact that the reason why we actually celebrate Easter was before the resurrection of Jesus. It had nothing to do with, running around hiding eggs and Easter bunnies and stuff like that. You know, I just wanted to not try to force my deal on anybody, but to try to give some understanding of where it is that my mind and my heart is in this entire deal that we call life. And so just trying to sort things out while at the same time trying to point out that we were given tools and gifts that are unbelievable, that if used properly and we could get on that right road that we should all be on together, you know, we could solve some things in short order. What do you think?
Oh boy, that's a really loaded conversation, this one. It's a loaded conversation, but really I've kind of been watching developments in the Catholic Church in the last 3 years, and statements made by the Pope, and the one that he made just recently is that there is no way to heaven but through the Catholic Church. And we see this happening worldwide right now, an all-out attack on the basic fundamentals of Christianity. Really, if you just take a look at what's going on at the churches in all of Europe right now, churches are under attack worldwide right now. It's an epidemic. It's happening everywhere. In Canada here, we're seeing major attacks on churches. In the United States of America, in France, 852 attacks on churches in 4 years.
Wow.
And now Notre Dame burns down. Well, I'll tell you, there is an agenda being ramped up against the Christian faith.
Tell me what building in Notre Dame is all about, because I'm really not up on what. I know there was a fire there, and it's.
I have to say it's Notre Dame, not Notre Dame.
All right, Notre Dame.
So,
enlighten me about that, because I never really researched that building or what its purpose or what's behind it or anything, but I've been hearing a lot of things out there in the, I guess you'd call it the rabbit hole, about some strange way that these buildings actually burnt down that would almost point to it was an intentional attack on that.
Well, if you look at it from a common sense point of view, if you look at the amount of attacks on Catholic churches in France and Germany in the last year alone, the fact that they arrested a lady 3 days before this incident took place for plotting to burn down the cathedral, the fact that a week before that, a major cathedral in France was attacked, a lot of this isn't making mainstream information at all. It's being quashed. But it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that if all these attacks are happening on churches and cathedrals all over Europe, and then mysteriously one of the most iconic landmarks in the world is set on fire, and we're supposed to believe it was an accident? I mean, are we that stupid? It was totally planned. It's an orchestrated event, and it was an attack, and it's designed to do exactly what it's doing right now.
You say iconic structures, but I'm still... What was the Notre Dame about?
That cathedral. That cathedral has been around for, I think it is, correct me if I'm wrong, brother, I think it's 800 years,
nearly 1,000 years.
I did hear one thing.
But let me tell you what this is. But really, there's something further than... Originally, beneath that Notre Dame, okay, was a site prior, pre-Druid, pre-Christianity, of to the Great Sacred Mother. Okay? It was a place where ancient civilizations, prehistoric Neolithic peoples, actually, because they had their goddess symbols, you know, right back all the way to Neolithic nations, Neolithic peoples, Neolithic time. They had their symbols to the goddess, to the Great Sacred Mother. Well, that site there, that earth, is a, it's called a telluric point, which is a high frequency point upon the Mother Earth's grid or ley lines. We call it the sacred web. But it's a high frequency point on the ley lines, okay? It's a node which with high frequencies, originally built there, created as part of the Mother. And plopped on top of that first was a Roman temple to Jupiter. And after that, okay, the Notre Dame was built. Okay, to me, that's usurping the Sacred Mother. Again, that's a patriarchy dominator structure. Okay, as is all, to me, all structures built by man. Okay, who have usurped creation, who have usurped God, if you want to say, or the original creator. And so they plop this big building, monolithic structure, on top of that sacred site to the Great Sacred Mother. So that's the history of the Earth. Now, there are other telluric points upon the Earth throughout the whole grid. That point, that nodule there in beneath Notre Dame connects to. So there's a reason for this. There's a reason where you cover up something that is the life force of the Mother Earth energetically and place a dominator patriarchy structure there. Now, on the other side of that, you have people, millions of people have been going to this. It is a beautiful, was a beautiful structure, extraordinary structure, beautiful, beautiful. And this, to me, is a psychological warfare. It's like watching the 9/11. Watching the towers go down.
Well, people.
I heard briefly about somebody going in there to rescue a crown of thorns. I'm just trying to...
That happened, and I have my own perspective of the crown of thorns, and I was thinking, well, you know what? This crown of thorns, okay, was the original crown of thorns placed on the head of Yeshua while he was crucified and nailed to the cross, and 2,000 plus years ago... People there, like Mary and Mary Magdalene, the mother of Jesus, and probably Joseph, and all the people who absolutely loved that man, Yeshua, took him off the cross, and somebody said, wait a second, let's take some of these nails, save the nails, and save this crown of thorns. Because, you know, I don't know, someday we might need it. We'll give it to a pope. And that's the crown of thorns. And I'm thinking, that's ridiculous, really. I mean, come on. But well, anyway, that's iconic.
I'm still not understanding what the significance of this building, Notre Dame, is, because was it a church?
It's a cathedral.
Cathedral. The biggest, I think it is the biggest cathedral in the world. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Christian cathedral, Christian church, that's it.
Well, I'm not going to call it a Christian cathedral, okay, because when I see pictures of that building, all I see is Satan, is absolutely personification of Lucifer. If you look at everything in that building, it's symbolic to Luciferian worship.
That's right, exactly right.
So there's nothing Christian about that cathedral.
Well, from our perspective, but I'm saying, so don't you find it interesting, Barry, that the Pope, I haven't heard anything from the Vatican,
not a word. Isn't that kind of strange?
Don't you find that curious?
Yeah, very, 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 very weird, and there's reasons for that, Barb, and that's a deep rabbit hole to go down. I don't think we can go down that one in this time period that we've got.
But so why would somebody burn that down? I mean,
there's a lot of things, there's speculations. Let's go back to the prophecy that was given to me over 30 years ago that said the breakup and shattering of the dominator patriarchy rule, in other words, everything that they put in place, would break up and shatter, and we are in that position now. Okay, to me, religion, organized religion, is part of the patriarchy dominator rule to really usurp the people's sovereignty from Creator, from Great Spirit or God. Okay, our own connectedness. Okay, there's a man in a dress and a fish hat standing between us and our Creator. They basically usurp the people's oneness with Creator, with God. That's to me. So now you have the great sacred mother, the goddess, beneath there on the earth, one of the nodes of the highest frequencies, which is a life force for the Mother Earth, with this monstrous Satanist, as Barry says, church on top of it. Okay, now suddenly it's attacked, okay, and other churches are attacked. So now we have the other side of this battle of the religions. Now you have, there were that week, I think 2 weeks prior to that, maybe a week or 2 weeks prior to that, there were 300-some churches that were vandalized in France alone, like Barry said. Wow. And for the whole year, whatever, how many, 800?
852, actually, in the last 4 years.
So, and then you have China, you have these religions, you have Christians being murdered, and you have Islam, you know, you have various things jockeying for position here. We also know, supposedly, the one world religion, I don't think it's going to be Christianity, and I don't think it's going to be Islam either. I think it's going to be the new religion, as we've been looking at, as the artificial intelligence. It's a new religion being put out, actually. Then I think it's to wipe out everything, the history of everything, as we see. They're taking down statues, they're rewriting history, you know, and there's a bigger picture here, and I'm not fully clear on it yet, but I think something is definitely, there's a couple of possibilities here that I'm looking at.
Well, the Pope just came out and made a statement that the doctrine of Islam is absolutely compatible with Christian doctrine.
Yes, it's a peaceful religion.
It's a peaceful religion. To come out of a world leader's mouth, a statement like that, is just absolutely ludicrous. And unfortunately, millions of people follow this guy and take his word for God. And it's scary. It really is when we see that kind of activity going on, but it's all part of the big picture part of when you look at it. What's really going to come here in the next little while? We see all these things happening around us that point to this time that we're in, and is really ramping up. And it's an exciting time to be alive, because everything that I'm reading about prophecy about this particular time in history is coming true.
Yeah,
and
I haven't been able
to dispel any prophecy. I've never been able to go look at a biblical prophecy in detail about exactly what is going on right now. You could use numerical situations. You could look at multiple different views of these prophecies. But when you look at the bottom line, they're absolutely 100% accurate. I've never yet been able to dispel one. So I say to myself, I have a reading from the bottom of my heart. I say, well, you know, if the wisdom that wrote these prophecies, however you want to define it in your life, if that wisdom wrote these prophecies, he wrote about what happened in the past, he's writing about what's happening right now in a major coalition of events we see happening worldwide, and he tells us what's coming in the future. Well, I have to take that for biblical truth, my truth, because I understand what he's saying, and I understand what he's pointing to, and then I look at everything that's happening in our world, and all perfect correlation to set us up for these events. So to me, it's what I'm living my life by right now, guys. I have to go by that, because it is so real and so true in my life, and that's my truth. And I really don't care if people don't agree with my points. I don't agree with a lot of people's points, but I'm sitting here listening. I want to hear people's opinion, because it's really all part of a learning curve. It really is.
Well, I agree with you, because it's also indigenous prophecy that's unfolding. It's biblical prophecy that's unfolding. You know, and it's even some prophecies that I've been given that's unfolding. It's pretty extraordinary, as I've said it too, to be here at this time.
To watch this right now. And we kind of got heads up of what's coming, don't we, Bob? If you really look at
it. Exactly.
So, we got to prepare ourselves for that mentally, physically, and emotionally.
Yeah, spiritually.
Spiritual. Yeah.
That's the key to me, anyway. I know we have to prepare ourselves on all levels, but significantly in the spiritual way. I feel is the shield. To me, your spiritual connectedness, and I don't care who you pray to, whatever, it's the spiritual connectedness, that reality that will, is the shield of light, if you want to say the shield of love and compassion. That is the most powerful frequency that you could ever imagine. It's unimaginable, but that is what will move us through. That is what will sustain us through whatever they throw at us, whatever is coming. I truly believe that. I was told that by my elder, Wallace Black Elk. You know, he said that. If you stand, he used the terminology of the Chinupa Wakam, which is the sacred pipe given to us by the White Buffalo Calf Woman, which is the same teachings, basically, that Yeshua brought, and Kanku Khan, and Viracocha, and the Feathered Serpent, and the Peacemaker. They said the same words. You know, the love and compassion, and caring for each other, and the kindness, and the stewardship of the Mother and all creation. It's the same words. And he said, if you stand behind this Chinupa, you will get through the changes that are coming. And when he used to speak about these changes, I have to say, Barry, the chills on your body, the hair on the back of your neck would basically stand up, and it would be, it's terrifying. And we see it unfolding. But again, it's the same message. If you stand behind the Chinupa, which means if you basically follow the teachings of Yeshua and all the sacred ones, the holy ones that have appeared, you will be able to withstand whatever the dark evil throws at you.
If you don't have that spiritual connection, Barbara, you are going to be devastated. And you will fall right into the trap that they're setting for a majority of the population on the world right now.
You won't have anything to hold on. You will have no foundation.
You'll go crazy. And that's what they're going to play on. They're going to play on chaos in society, of course. Because out of chaos comes control. We know that they've used the same agenda multiple times in history. And we see it unfolding right now. The world is in chaos. We see so many events happening right now. We talk about wars. We talk about famine. We talk about pestilence. We talk about what we're seeing geologically and the storms we're seeing. Of course, there's all kinds of kickback. You know, this is being generated by man. This is blah, blah, blah. This is blah, blah, blah. But it's kind of ironic that they all seem to fit into this particular description of this time we're in right now. So, to me, I'm just sitting back going here, well, this is, I kind of know what's coming next. I know that they're going to bring down the hammer on society. That is prophesized, and I believe it will play out. That we are going to see the rise of the Antichrist. And boy, I'll tell you, if anybody ever fit that position to the T, you have to again go to the Pope and what he's representing to the Christian people. Or the so-called Christians that follow Catholicism. And boy, I'll tell you,
I want to talk to this. What do you think, Barry? Patty Fields says the Bible is fiction and it has been changed dozens of times and blah, blah. We know that. So I'm talking about biblical prophecy unfolding and indigenous prophecy unfolding and even prophecies personally given to me unfolding in our timeline. So if the Bible is fiction, you said, so well, who wrote the Bible and why are there prophecies unfolding? That's a very important thing to look at.
Well,
and I know why, because
there's something that I keep telling everybody all the time. In order to tell a lie, to make this lie sound plausible, you have to put a bit of truth in there. You could take two liars, and they both could be telling a flat-out lie. But they both have to tell a bit of the truth in order to have their lie sound plausible so that you might be suckered into believing it. So if you listen and discern with your heart, the truth is in that lie.
But listen to this. So we know we have been given a power to create, right? Manifest. What we believe in, we focus on, and we create. We manifest it, right?
Jesus.
So I look at these prophecies along those lines as well. You know, if we're told the end times are coming, and everybody's waiting for the Antichrist and actually want the Antichrist to take place, they're happy with the chaos because they're waiting for the end times so the Antichrist appears. Once the Antichrist Christ appears, guess who else comes? You know.
Well, I want to be the forever optimist. I'm that guy that's standing around thinking, because I listened to the words that Jesus said, and I don't think that we're helpless, and it would make my heart so happy. I want to say something hypothetical right here, okay? So Let's say hypothetically, it's all prophesied, all right? And in some people's mind, it is quite literally written in stone. But Jesus gave us tools and knowledge that if we actually used them, imagine if for some crazy reason, somehow or another, we all just woke up one day and we decided we're going to do the right thing. And we took all these tools and this knowledge and we started moving towards cleaning our house, you know. It's kind of like when a father leaves his house and tells all his kids, say, look, these are the rules. Take care of each other, take care of the house. And when I get home, you know, we'll take it from there. Well, when the father comes back, and the house is in complete disorder, of course he's going to be riled up. Of course these things are going to happen. But what happens if hypothetically, somehow, and I know I'm the forever optimist, it's so far so good, and so next thing you know, we all started doing everything we were supposed to do, and we fixed this house, and we started working in harmony with each other and nature, and then when our Creator came back and looked down on us, would have no other choice but to smile. You know, how could you be angry that your creation learned something and actually did this? And so what better way to glorify the Creator but taking all the blessings and gifts that we've been given and doing the best that we possibly can? I don't think that we're totally weak in this whole deal. I think we've been given the tools. And so, if for some reason that would actually come to pass, it would warm my heart to all those doomsdayers out there and to all the governments and all the negativity people and all the darkness, that if somehow or another we overcame that hurdle and we learned what it really means to be who it is that we are, and we took this world and we molded it into quite literally the heaven on earth that I keep talking about. Now, is that plausible in today's day and age? Obviously, we're up against a massive monster. If we're ever to try to do battle with this, we're going to have to come together. There's no way that one man or even one army can come against this darkness without some sort of divine intervention coming down here and setting things right that way. But wouldn't it be so glorious if we could do it ourselves before our Creator shows up, and then whenever he gets here, like everything, our house is in order, the house is clean, everybody's getting along and that kind of thing. That's what I wish could happen. Alright? Well, I don't know.
I kind of feel that we are the co-creators, and we were given the ability to create, you know, peace. We were given the ability to create a paradise, which was once a paradise, but that has been corrupted. So I believe that prophecy is a warning. I believe that prophecy is a wake-up call. I believe that if we shift in our focus and come into that harmony and light and peace, that is what will be created, because that is a power. I do believe that. So I don't just give up and say, oh, well, prophecy says we're all doomed and that's it. Because I feel that's Creator's decision, determination, not mine. Whoa. So I have a job to do, right? So if we need, you're right, we need to come together in unity to create a different frequency here.
I would have to say that if we believed it was written in stone, why would we even be sitting here talking?
Why would we bother?
Yeah, why bother? I mean, we can't do nothing about it. Let's just stay as close as we can to God and wait for the smoke to clear, and hopefully we're standing on the right side.
Oh, or we'd be jumping off of bridges.
Yeah, well,
if you say, why bother, we're all doomed, let's just go jump off the bridge now.
According to what I believe, you can't get into heaven if you kill yourself. So it's like, you know, trying to get out of the game early or something like that.
I have a different perspective on that, because I believe a little bit differently. I believe that we are here as a big school in a big school, trying to learn something and trying to become what we are, you know, we're originally meant to be.
Well,
you know, and
we're going to make
mistakes, you know, and I think that there are people, I think it shifts something for sure, because when you take your life, you are missing out on the meetups on the great wheel of life that you were meant to meet up with, and things will change in your life, of course, and it's all teachings and opportunity and challenges and learning, and you will miss out on certain things that could have been awesome. That's all I'm saying. You take your life.
There was something in the book that said in the last days that they would seek death and it would flee them. And so I'm thinking that would be pretty bad. If you wanted out, you couldn't get out. You'd have to go through the ride anyway. It's kind of like when you get on a roller coaster. You know, you're obligated now. You're in it to win it or lose it, one of the two. So I'm hoping to win this thing. I'm hoping to... At least, because no man knows the time or day, according to what I believe. And so, we don't know when the last days are going to actually be here, or we might actually be living in them. We don't know when the actual last day is, so I'm thinking maybe we should do the best job we can to clean our house up before whatever is to come shows up, whether it be something that we created a self-fulfilled destiny to sheer doom, like with wars and all this kind of stuff. There ain't no good could come out of war. What good comes out of shooting somebody? What good comes out of destroying nations? There ain't no good comes out of it. But the good that comes out of love is unmatchable. I mean, I would rather be on that road than the one that I see society on right now. So if I'm waiting for my savior to get here, I don't want to stand idly by and just walk down that road and help others to, you know, basically be like, you know, that guy that gives the drunk beer because he doesn't want him to suffer because he's having his shakes or whatever. I don't want to be that, what's the word I'm looking for? In the one that helps him out. Doggone it. I can't remember. You guys know what word I'm looking for here? Enabler. I don't want to be the enabler for somebody to take other somebodies to their sure doom, whether it be to get as far away from Christ as possible, or God, or Creator, or goodness, or love. I want to be the one that shines the light down the good road and say, look, this is a smooth path down here, and we can fix things along the way and make it better. That's what I've learned from my time here on this earth. I've learned that, you know, what you do makes a difference.
Well, I have a question. Well, I actually have a kind of a question and a response to, you know, wars start in the name of God, I said, because, let me see, I just lost it. I'm looking at the chat here, who says, it's Patty Fields, who says, more people have been killed in the name of God than the total of all other reasons. And I agree, because wars start in the name of God. Genocide is in the name of God. But I say not my creator.
No.
Not your God.
The great dictator.
So which God, whose God are these people committing genocide for? Because we know there is supposedly the one who claims to be the one true God that is not.
Well, there is, according to what I've listened and learned, there's two gods. There's the little G and the big G, the one that's down here ruling this earth right now and running amok, and then there's the real one at the top. And so, the good and the evil, so to speak, the polar opposites of each other. But one is great at imitating what would have been a Christian. One is good at would have been imitating at what it would have been to be maybe a true Muslim or a true Buddhist or Hindu or whatever belief system that they're on. I mean, whatever's good gets imitated and basically distorted. So when I hear about, you know, people that say that, you know, going to war in the name of God, I would never go to war in the name of God. Jesus didn't say go to war. He wasn't talking about war. He was talking about peace. He was talking... Jesus was, according to what I believe, he was the Prince of Peace. Now, the Prince of Peace, I could follow him down the road because he's not going down there trying to start a fight or kill people or telling me that if I want to go to heaven, I got to kill people too. I wouldn't do that. I mean, it's against my nature. It's against whatever is in this chest that's beating, and it tells me that I want to love people. I don't want to hurt people. I don't want to hurt. Do I have the potential? Yeah, I'm sure. Because I get angry just like everybody else. Sometimes I just want to clock somebody because they're being so hateful and so rude to people. But then I realize that the moment I do clock them, I just became them. You see what I'm saying? Does anything I'm saying make sense?
Go ahead, Barry.
I'll let you go first. I just lost my train of thought there.
Sorry there, Barry.
Well, what was I thinking?
When you're talking, it gets me going in a million different directions.
I was thinking about the earlier, Barry, I was talking about people who have such hate for Donald Trump that they, I read this little post today on Facebook how someone said, forget impeachments, let's just go to the hanging.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I was like thinking, wow, okay, so these people have no proof of anything. It's just hearsay.
Rhetoric.
And theories. And they are, these people are Christian people. You know, I know some of these people. I mean, you know, they claim to be Christians or spiritual people, and they are saying, forget the impeachment, let's just hang this guy. Or let's, well, you could say, well, forget this person, they did this and that, you know, that she showed an ankle, let's cane her, or let's stone her to death, or let's cut off this person's head, or this is the mob rule beginning, as we see it.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you've been following the developments with NXIVM and Carol Brockman and all the other heads that have been indicted here in the last 3 or 4 days, the confessions made in front of the courtroom about the absolutely undeniable connection between the Clinton Foundation, heads of government, and child trafficking. This is all going to come out big
it's
time.
It's all real, folks, whether you want to believe it or not.
People don't know what's coming out here in the next couple of weeks.
I know.
Absolutely. Knock you right off your chairs, because the Bible does say that everything in this particular time will be revealed.
Yeah.
And you know what? I say the biblical prophecy, you know, the prophecies in the Bible were written by multiple prophets over thousands of years, okay? They didn't have the internet. They didn't communicate with each other. They had no way of picking up a phone and asking George what he thinks about coming down the road. These were prophecies wrote by thousands of prophets or hundreds of prophets over thousands of years, and they're all exactly saying the exact same thing about this particular time in history. Call that fiction, will you?
I can't call it fiction.
No, it's not fiction.
Against fiction.
But let me say something. I'm just crazy like this for some reason. Don't get me wrong, I don't worship the creation, I worship the creator, but I am amazed by the creation. Imagine you're watching this really wonderful artist paint the most beautiful picture that you've ever seen in your life. I mean, when you look at this picture, your mind and body and your soul and your heart just melts. I mean, it's just such a loving, beautiful, wonderful picture. And then you see somebody come over there with a paintbrush and they make a little mess over here, and then somebody does it over here, and then finally the artist throws his hands up in the air and just rips it to shreds. Now I'm sitting here thinking, I kind of really like this earth that we're on, because it's really beautiful, and if people could really respect what we've been blessed with, this thing, It provides all of the medicines we need. It provides all the life-giving substances we need. It provides beauty. It provides comfort. It provides this blessing that we've been given is the provider. And it was set up in such a way that no matter what we did, because we're running around chaotic doing crazy stuff to each other, this earth keeps on doing what it's doing. And it has been providing for us all along. If we had to maintain this earth in order to get the earth we would be in so much trouble right now, because we're too busy fighting amongst each other. We're too busy arguing amongst each other. It's like not mowing your lawn for 10 years. You're sitting in the jungle now, and your house is rotten, and then everything's encroaching in on you. It's no longer a house. You might as well be standing outside, because it'd be more comfortable. If we had to do what the creator of this earth put in place for us, we couldn't do that and this at the same time. We could not fight all these wars with each other. We could not sit here and argue about politics and life and religions and terminology. We wouldn't have time to do that, because we would be too busy trying to protect our only haven for survival. Does that make sense to you all? We've been given such a blessing, and if we could only recognize that and the true potential of what we could accomplish if we worked with what we got going on for us right now. Right now, we're standing on a great foundation that was handed down to us by, I believe, the Almighty Himself, the great creator, the divine source. It put us on a foundation immovable that if we were to take everything that we've been given, all these blessings, we could literally make a heaven on earth, a utopia. And then what more could a divine entity do but smile? I am so amazed by my own creation that this is why I love them. I know. I get it. Prophecy's prophecy, but I still think that there's a loophole in there that gives us a chance to do the right thing. Whether you want to call it free will or whatever, or choice, or to follow as closely in the footsteps of what Jesus said, to follow closely in the footsteps of what all the messengers throughout the history said. I believe God sends angels all the time. You know, I believe messengers show up. I believe sometimes that bum that's on the side of the road that you call a bum, a homeless guy that's got the sign up and says needs some money for food, and people prejudge them already before they even know the person, that, oh, if I give that money, he's just going to go buy drugs or alcohol. What if that was a test? What if it was a test to see whether or not you would take and put down your greed and open your heart and your wallet to help this individual and share some of your blessings? What if that was a test? I'm just asking.
Well, you know, prophecy does talk about the spiritual battle we're seeing happening on the planet right now, the rise in Satanism, the rise of the satanic church.
And it's happening.
We see it infiltrating our school systems, our houses of government, our houses of justice. It's infiltrating all aspects of our society, and it's blowing at light speed. And this is all talked about at this particular time in history.
It's happening.
Just another correlation of events that I see unfolding that are really playing into this particular time coming ahead.
And
to me, the one thing that I have to stand by is what is written in stone, I believe, will pass. Right? I have to live by that, because if I deny that, I deny everything that I believe. And at this particular point in my life, it's absolutely imperative to me as a person that I stand in my truth. And that's not something I can change.
Well,
I really have to look at prophecy and what it says, my friend. Unless there's a change in the human spirit, we're not going in the right direction. We're going in the wrong direction.
Satan
is really ramping up his influence on the human race right now. We see it everywhere.
That's it right there, Barry. You just spoke the loophole. You said unless there's a change in human spirit. So there's still a fraction. There's still a fraction of hope. Even in the prophetic version of Revelations, what they talk about, wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famine and pestilence. But Jesus, out of his own mouth, said that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, which is tiny, just a tiny little bit of faith, because I believe the tiniest bit of faith in our divine creator is more powerful than all this evil out here put together. And that's what I believe Jesus said. If you had that little tiny bit of faith that you could do things, he said you could do greater things than this. That's what he said, Barry. And I understand, I'm with you. I'm not doubting where we're going. Because on this road that we're on, we are definitely heading to the prophetic version of what Revelation spoke of.
We're on a precipice right now. Everybody here that's listened to this show knows that we're on a precipice, that things are just getting absolutely crazy.
So I guess I'm just out here.
Are coming apart.
I'm just out here.
Bad families are falling apart. People are committing suicide at rates we've never seen in human history.
Yeah,
it's just getting nuts out there.
I like you know it's coming. And I'm saying to everybody, I'm sitting here, Dad's coming home, right? And I know this. Dad's coming home, and I'm lobbying my other brothers and sisters. I'm saying, look, I know it's in you. I know it's in you. You got the power to do this right. Let's do this. Let's get it done before this comes to pass. You see what I'm saying? So maybe it's a last ditch effort. I'll be the last one standing on the battlefield of life, and then during the apocalypse or doomsday or, you know, everything. And I'm saying, can't we all just get along? I know.
Barry, I don't know what's going on, but Gas says that you're kind of muffled. He said he's struggling to comprehend you. Bad audio, muffled. I don't know. I hear you okay. I don't know. Somehow it's coming across a little muffled. I don't know.
Well, I'm hearing you guys clear, and maybe it's something to do with the connection. But
yeah, you sound clear to me, so I don't know.
I don't know what's going on there, but I brought my audio down on my mic just a little bit, so I thought maybe that was the issue, but that's as well as I felt like being heard. So, but anyways, I love these conversations we have, guys. I really do. I just wish I could get up a little earlier and get it.
We wish you could too.
Set the coffee pot on a timer.
I wish we had a transporter today, guys, because I'd send everybody in this chat room some fiddleheads today so they could enjoy these things. They're up now, and I'm going up about half an hour to go pick them.
Cool.
So I get
ours are coming up as well pretty soon. Fiddleheads,
This is the best time of the year, Barbara. Yeah. Get out for chat. Just I'm really looking forward to the day today. So.
Good.
See if I can get a couple, 5 or 6 bags of this. I freeze a lot of them. I do sell some of them, but I do freeze a lot for the winter.
And how do you freeze them? You just put
Just flash freeze them, and they're good.
I mean, you don't clean them, wash them, or you just flash freeze them as they are.
Just wash them and freeze them.
Right.
Take them out of the freezer and eat them. They taste like asparagus. Anybody that's never tried a fiddlehead, man.
Yeah, they're really delicious.
You're priding yourself with it.
What exactly is a fiddlehead?
It's a baby plant. It's when our ferns start growing. The first thing that starts growing when the snow disappears is the ferns. And fiddleheads are just a baby fern. You get them before they actually pop up and start growing. They're a cone inside the pod.
Wow.
So,
well, they look like the top of a fiddle with that little curve.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's how they grow. That's why they call them fiddlehead ferns. But they're the first shoots of the ferns that come up. And they're like in this little spiral on the top, like a fiddle. And you saute them with olive oil, butter, garlic.
Yeah, stop it. I'm going to have some for supper, guys.
My mouth is
I could share them with you. I really do. But the worst part about it, Barb, is we're picking in the worst kind of bush that you can pick in. It's all stinging nettle. And you're down along the riverbanks, and there's broken stuff all over the place. And it's the worst picking conditions that you get for the start of the year. So it's definitely a conditioning stint for the rest of the year.
Just be careful you're not too close to roadsides where they spray that crap.
Yeah, I know. Warnings. They post the warnings on the side of the road. People never stop and read them. But they're spraying this herbicide all over the place, and there's a stern warning posted on the signs, but of course people don't stop to read that. They just see the sign and drive on. I try and stay away from those areas altogether, because I see them doing it up here.
You know what? They don't have to spray. They can just put a guy to work, and like they used to, take a little, one of those little weed whackers.
And get rid of them.
And weed whack the weeds there along those fences, you know, where the mower can't mow. That's why they do it. They spray that crap along the roadside. It goes into the water, goes into the land. I mean, it's really revolting. There you go.
I wonder something, since you guys are talking about plants, I wonder something. Maybe you guys know or have some thoughts on. I sit around and I look at these trees, these honey locusts and these, black locust trees that have all these doggone thorns. And I even see some fruit trees that have thorns, even hedge trees, the one that grows the, Osage orange, whatever, horse apples, hedge apples, or whatever you call them. Anyway, do you think that there was ever a time in this world's existence that these trees did not have thorns?
Well, I don't know. I know that nature creates itself for its self-protection. Yeah. So I don't really know.
Well, I don't think we're in a position to question nature on that one. She does everything for a reason.
Well, I was just trying to see, whether or not, because you see, When nature...
They're called thorn apples, aren't they?
Hedge apples is what we call them.
We call them thorn apples, okay.
But anyway, I was just thinking, because it looks like when nature gets sick, you can tell. I mean, the trees start to die and things look rough and everything's overgrown. But, you know, if you get out there and you tend to it, it seems like the good things, more good things pop up. The more you work the land, the better this place and the more comfortable it gets. When I first got to this this property that I'm on, it was a nightmare. I mean, wild vines growing everywhere, and it was just a mess. And I just had to work at it and work at it. And now it's starting to look really beautiful. And every time I do more work to it, it seems like something more beautiful pops up. And so I'm just wondering if, you know, if you basically don't... Oh, what's the word I'm looking for? I always had lots of words. If you basically procrastinate on using anything, it just goes to heck, you know, in the handbasket, so to speak.
Well, we had the same thing with the land here. When we came here, it was a mess. There were, you know, wild rose prickers everywhere. You couldn't even move here. There was poison ivy all over the place, and vines and stuff choking trees and... Yeah, and we've started little by little to clear that out, and everything has started to shift here quite miraculously, and things have energetically changed, you know. We realize that with our care, our stewardship, you know, it's made a big change, big difference. Well, the animals are coming back and various other things like that.
Maybe if I love the trees enough, they'll drop their thorns and be peaceful.
Well, you better love them quick because they're all dying.
Yeah, I know. I'm seeing some fungus on these trees that ain't normal. And
we have the same thing. Yes, people all around us are talking about that.
I just saw a picture of Banff, Alberta, guys, and it absolutely shocked me because Banff, Alberta. You know, 5 years ago, it was completely green. Anywhere you looked in a picture of Banff, you'd see green. Now you look at the same picture, and you see very, very few pockets of green. It's all dead. And it's absolutely, the pine beetle is decimating British Columbia pine forest. Just absolutely decimating.
Oh, we had Japanese beetles. I mean, by the swarms, they were taking leaves off the trees so fast. I mean, I walk underneath a tree one day and it was raining leaves, and I'm like, what the heck is going on? I look closer and there's a whole bunch of these Japanese beetles. I can't remember for what purpose they brought these doggone things over, but they shouldn't have been here.
Well, I think it's the Japanese. They're getting back at us with all these invasive species.
They don't forget Hiroshima.
Exactly.
Do they?
They don't forget. So let's get them in another way, you know, right?
Exactly.
Well, anyway.
Our problem with the trees started many years ago up in the Adirondacks with acid rain. And then it's moved little by little down through the Catskills and everything. Acid rain is just killing the trees. And you know, and of course now we figured out, well, that's probably from the chemtrails.
Well, there are burn marks on them leaves. I've been pointing it out to people. There's burn marks, actual chemical burns on these leaves.
I've had that, the black round marks on the maples for years.
So if that's doing that to the leaves, what's it doing to us?
Well, you wonder.
That's what's happening to the Great Barrier Reef, man. If that doesn't wake people up, then boy, I'll tell you, we'll sleep. How much of the reef have we lost now? The reefs are an indication of the health of the ocean. Look what's going on in the ocean right now. Why aren't people paying attention to this? It baffles me. It really does.
Well, I think that most folks...
Our priorities are backwards.
Most folks on most subjects are so distracted away from all that is good, they're not paying attention right underneath their feet. It's all being destroyed right around them. And, you know, one of these days, it'll be a rude awakening when things start getting scarce. You know, and things aren't happening. Like, I was really scared there for a while because we were losing bees like you wouldn't believe. I was seeing bees out in the middle of wintertime looking around for flowers with nectar or something like that. And I couldn't understand, why would a honeybee be out in the middle of the winter trying to find something to eat? You know? And that had to have something to do with the crud they're spraying in the air, but hey, we're tinfoilers, right? You can't point out the obvious, otherwise you're a nut. Well, I guess I'm a
nut. There's something afoot, or let's say we'll use that term, something on the horizon, and I'm hoping that it's real. And it was a remark a couple of weeks ago, maybe last month, made by Q, who spoke about their awareness of the poisoning and an attempt to kill the population with from the skies and the pollutions and the pesticides and so on. And this was spoken about, and I did mention this before, that awareness, because we've all been aware of it, but we're conspiracy nutcases, so now you have the other so-called conspiracy Q, who is connected to President Trump, who is taking out the evil swamps and arresting pedophiles and disclosing, and by the way, Nexium is part of that disclosure, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Nexium, that whole thing was done through their arrests of the dark and the evil going on in relation to sex trafficking of children and so on, and pulling in all those people. So the mention of that brought my got my attention, because I'm saying, okay, we are the conspiracy nutcases here talking about the poisoning of humanity, and now Q, who is supposedly, as I said, connected to Donald Trump and also a part of the intelligence agencies of the United States, that kind of like brought my attention to it. Say, what are they going to do about it? They're noting this, and they noted some of the elite involved in this, that they are very well aware of this. So I'm waiting, you guys, to see if, when, and this does occur, when you said, Barry, it's true, people are going to be shocked about what's going to be coming out, who's going to be put in front of the, you know, the population saying, these people committed this act, this evil act, and so on, these people in high up places, these people in our political arena, plus, and they're going to be supposedly brought out. And when that happens, I'm hoping that those that are involved with trying to kill us with air pollutions and pesticides will also be taken down. That's my prayer. Okay,
I think that prayer is going to be answered, Barbara, because this is going to involve a whole host of cards. And
yep.
Of course, you know, when these people start going down, they will turn on each other in a heartbeat to save themselves 5 years in jail.
Oh, they're already seeing that.
So you're going to see them all start turning on each other. You're going to see this become the biggest story that we've ever seen in our history. And it's about to unfold on us. How it's going to play out, how society is going to react, what the end game is, we can speculate on, but we all know that there's something really, really big going to hit the fan. And if you're paying attention to things, you'll agree with me. So, just get ready for it, guys, because it's coming.
Yeah, they're talking to each other. I've got to
get out of here, guys,
because
I'm leaving. I'm leaving. I've got to go.
Yeah.
My buddy's waiting for me.
Yeah, we got to go anyway, Barry. You want
to? I'll be thinking about you guys in the bush today.
Barry, you want to give your last word of wisdom? It's time for us to get up out of here anyway.
Just prepare yourself spiritually, folks, for what's coming. That's all I've got to say.
Barry. Have a great day.
That is the most important thing we can do, folks. Okay. Have a great day, Ed and Shiz, and thanks for having me in. I love you guys.
Love
and
you.
I'll join you next week, and we'll see how much craziness is unfolding in the week to come.
Yeah. Continued.
I hope you find a lot of what you're seeking today, Barry.
Oh, they're right there. Shiz is, and I know where to go get them, so I'm going to get them.
Yep, it's all a blessing as far as I'm concerned.
Best time in my life.
I guess the next one is you, Barbara.
Yeah, well, thank you again, Shiz. Always a great show, always wonderful to be here, and thank everybody in the chat for sticking with us, and love your input and perspectives on everything, and it gives us an opportunity to go down a lot of different rabbit holes and theories and our ideas and so on to share. And again, you know, I always say to everybody, you know, take what sings to your heart spirit. And we're basically here just to share, I think, the goodness and the hope of for all of us, you know, because we're all here together and we're all a part of each other. So I just thank you, Shaziz. It's been a beautiful time being with you, and I love everybody, and be here next week.
I'm looking forward to it. It's always a blessing. I'm so blessed by your presence and everybody else. You know, I think there's something really good on the other side waiting for us. I think we're going to go through some really trying and exciting times. And so with that said, I'm going to play a song when we leave up out here. I've played it before. Everybody knows probably what I'm going to play. But that song, The Rose, it just speaks to me, because that rose is supposed to symbolize love. And you listen to the lyrics of it, it talks about through the harshest winter, that little seed planet, you know, it eventually ends up becoming this beautiful rose. And I honestly believe that the way that things are right now seem discouraging, but the words that were spoken by the messengers from what I believe our Creator or God, whatever, you know, and I believe what's going on here as a miracle, and that there's something really amazing occurring right now, that things are going to work out. I honestly believe that things are going to work out. On the other side of that deal, we're going to go through some harsh times, but I think that there's something really nice on the other side waiting for those of us who choose to take that path. So with that said, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. If you like anything you heard here, please share the podcast links with people. If you want to rebroadcast it, chop it, cut it up, take the good parts and leave what you don't like behind. Just the whole deal is to share the message with everyone that you think needs to hear it, and to help support Gary and all those wonderful people over there at People for People. Used to be Scottish Sovereigns, I think. Nonetheless, People for People Radio, awesome people over there. Some singers, some cooks, some poets, and just about a mix of all the goodness that we got out there. So with that said, share these podcasts with somebody out there. Share the links. Tell them it's okay and safe to come here and visit with us. We're working on that security thing. Somebody sent me a link. I think it was, let me see here. Oh, can't even remember. I'll have to look it up again. I think it was Stefan sent it to me, maybe. There's a video that shows me how to set my website up and put the secure thing back on it. Anyway, I'm getting lost here. Peace and love, everybody. Share the message with somebody. If you like these podcasts, I'm going to throw this podcast up on the Auto DJ, because I think this is one that needs to be heard again. What do you think?
I do. I agree.
All right. So
yeah,
I'll put it in two places so it'll get more play. So there you go, folks. I hope you enjoyed the show today, and I hope you meet us there again next week, same time and same place. Bring all your friends with you. Bring those that you love that want to hear uplifting and inspiring coming from a whole bunch of different points of view. Really good people. Awesome. I'm just so happy. I love you guys and gals.
Some say love, it is a river that drowns the tender reed. Some say love, it is a razor that leaves your soul to bleed. Some say love. knows lies the seed that with the sun's love in the spring becomes the rose.
Old woman!
Man!
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you. We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We'll routine to board a scene to put quite impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rise that our quiet hunts are able. We're off to mad in Camelot. We sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Terrible, always looking to serve the terrible and the knights of the round table.